Just go ahead now, and if you like to tell me, maybe just go ahead now, and if you wonder about me flowers, just go ahead now, and if you like to talk for hours, just go ahead now, and if you want to call me.
Give it up for the hottest pregame show in minor league baseball. It's the Air Show starring Michael Mark Antonini. Let's set it down to the first base dugout for today's show.
What's going on, Ironbirds fans? Michael Mark Antonini here for game two of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Greensboro Grasshoppers. Well, this is a home-and-home series, Ironbirds fans. The first three of this series here in Aberdeen, and then the Birds will travel down to Greensboro to finish it off. A tough loss last night for the Birds as the Hoppers took the series opening W 8-6. But the Birds are looking to get back in the win column tonight on another beautiful night for baseball here in Aberdeen. Well, Ray is not with me tonight, but I've got my sidekick, Ripcord Ferris, is somewhere causing, wreaking havoc. But I'm sure we'll see him at some point, too. But I got these guys here with me, and of course I'll have Ray back with me tomorrow. Big day for Ray tomorrow. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's first talk about what happened last night here in the Dean. Well, I mentioned the Ironbirds, a two-run loss to the Hoppers in game one of this series, but the Ironbirds, this resilient club, continues to rally. They brought the tying run to the plate in the ninth inning last night after they were down four with no one on and two outs in the inning. So the Birds made it interesting. They always do. Let's take a look at some of the notable offensive performers in last night's game for the Birds. Well, it started with Reed Trimble. He got the Birds on the board in the fourth inning with a solo homer. He added an RBI double later in the game. So two RBI for Trimble. He also scored three of the Ironbirds' six runs, so he continues to get it done over the last couple weeks. And then how about Adam Retzbach? Another Retzbomb as he hit his third home run in his last 16 games. He also has 10 extra base hits in his last 16, so he continues to get it done. And he didn't even start last night's game. He came off the bench and drove one over the batter's eye in deep center field, sent it into the Aberdeen Knight. And then how about Mac Horvath? The dude just continues to mash the baseball. Two more big hits for him last night, an RBI single, an RBI double. He just continues to rack up the multi-hit games and the multi-RBI games. So on the offensive side of things, the Birds continue to get it done. And the pitching continues to get done as well, just a tough loss for the Birds. Before we wrap up the Air Show, I want to talk about some numbers for the Ironbirds overall in the month of June. Now that we're on to the second day of July, it's time to get you some totals for the month of June. And the Ironbirds had a great month of June, 17-9 overall in June, by far their best month of the season, by far the best record in the league in that span. How about just under 6 runs per game for the offense after averaging just 4 runs per game in the month of May? So this team continues to make strides on both sides of the ball. And then on the pitching side, the Ironbirds allowed the 5th fewest runs in the South Atlantic League in the month of June. The pitching staff held opponents to a .234 batting average, and they struck out almost 11 batters per 9 innings. So all around, the Ironbirds getting it done on the pitching side, on the offensive side, and on the defense side. Well, that'll do it for another air show, Ironbirds fans. Great night for a ball game here in the Dean. I want to remind Ironbirds fans that my sidekick, Ray, who is normally with me on the pregame show, is going to be taking on the Porkinator Challenge tomorrow here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium, so you're going to want to be here to see him do that. Good luck to you, my guy. I'm going to have you the Tums and the Pepto-Bismol ready. I got to have to do that for you. You're my guy. All right, but that's what's happening tomorrow. But Ironbirds fans, let's have some fun tonight on the broadcast. 7:05 first pitch. And as always, Ripcord and Ferris, you guys know how we do it. Let's fly. We'll be right back. It's another beautiful night for baseball here in Aberdeen, Maryland, as we get set to play Game 2 of a six-game home-and-home series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Greensboro Grasshoppers. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Mark Cantonini, the voice of the Ironbirds, live from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Birds dropped last night's series opener 8-6, but they fought until the very end. They brought the tying run up to the plate with two outs in the ninth, but the Grasshoppers closed it out. Entering tonight's game, the Ironbirds are 41-35 overall. They are 7-3 in the second half of play. On the flip side, Greensboro is 47-28 overall. The Hoppers are 8-2 in the second half. They are in first in the South Atlantic League North Division standings here in the second half. The Birds are just behind them, a game back in second. That can flip-flop tonight. We'll see what happens here in Aberdeen. But before we go any further with the starting lineups and the pitching matchup, I'm going to play my pregame interview with Ironbirds right-handed pitcher Zane Barnhart. Really fun to talk to Zane, an underrated piece in this Ironbirds loaded farm system, or the Orioles loaded farm system. So talk to Zane a little bit about his journey to professional baseball, a D2 college pitcher, and now in his first full professional season. So we'll get you the starting lineups and the pitching matchup after that. But here's my conversation with Ironbirds pitcher Zane Barnhart. Michael Mark Cantonini back here on the Ironbirds pregame show. I have Ironbirds right-handed pitcher Zane Barnhart joining me on the program. Zane, thanks for doing this. Your first full season in professional baseball, how's everything going so far?
I think it's been going pretty good. Been throwing pretty good this year, been feeling good, ready to continue on with the year.
I know you're from Towson, Maryland originally, but you grew up in Ohio. So tell me a little bit about, you know, being from Maryland and then moving out to Ohio with your family.
So I actually never really lived in Towson. I was just born there. And I lived in Arizona, actually, from until I was 4 years old, and then moved out to Ohio. I've been living there for the last 18 years, so I still got some family around here, though, so it's been nice having them be able to come to some games.
Who in your family still lives in this area?
My grandparents, so they've been coming out a couple times a week, pretty much the whole season.
What does it mean to you to be able to pitch in front of them as a professional so close to where they live?
It's pretty cool. Saying growing up, it was a little bit further of travel for them to come see me play. They could only really see me a couple times a year. Now it's a couple times a week they can see me. It's nice.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, I know you you had a pretty cool rise to pro baseball. 3 years at Division II Hillsdale College in Michigan. Now, everybody knows D1 ball and what happens at that level, but let's give some love to D2 baseball right here. What did the 3 years at Hillsdale do for you?
Yeah, there's some real talent in Division II. There's talent at every single level in college baseball. My time at Hillsdale was great. The guys there are awesome. It's fun going to work every single day with them.
Now that you've moved into professional baseball, I mean, what have you taken from your time as a collegiate athlete into the pro game?
Just kind of the grind that it takes in college baseball. You know, you're practicing every single day, doing your extra work. It's kind of the same deal here, minus the school part, obviously. So we can put all of our focus on baseball and throwing every single day.
Now, I know a lot of pitchers come from either high school or college, or whether they're signed internationally, and they get to pro ball and they add new pitches or they have altered pitch grips. Anything like that for you?
Yeah, I definitely say so. I've added a cutter since getting in the org. It's been one of my better pitches to throw against lefties, and I've changed my slider grip here a couple weeks ago. Ever since I did that, it's been lights out.
So with both adding the cutter and changing the slider grip, is that something that you decided you wanted to do and asked the org to help you, or was it the org's idea and then you went from there?
I think it was kind of a little bit of both. Like, I've had the thought of adding like a new pitch to my arsenal, and I kind of just ran it through some of the pitching coaches, and they kind of taught me like a grip and some cues to help fix or add a pitch.
And I know you guys are constantly working on things. You know, even in game, you're working on the new pitches and the new grips. How do you feel like it's coming along since you changed it up?
I think it's going pretty good. Like, the shapes are getting better each outing. In between outings, gives you something good to put your focus towards, and then see the results in game. It's rewarding.
I've talked to a lot of guys here in Aberdeen about the arm care routine that you guys go through. How has that helped you stay healthy and continue to do your best out on the mound?
I mean, I'd say it's been pretty good, the arm care routine. My arm feels great, recovering great after each outing, feel 100% every single time I'm out there.
A couple more for you before we wrap up the interview. Who were some of your favorite baseball players growing up? Got to go personal here.
I definitely say Derek Jeter was my favorite growing up. I played infield growing up and pitched, so It was always fun watching him and the Yankees play.
How about on the pitching side?
I didn't really pay attention to too much pitchers growing up, actually. I've only been a pitcher only for like the last 3 years, so it's more of an infielder growing up.
One more to wrap up, Zane. I got to ask. I mean, Zane's not necessarily an uncommon name, but I just think it's a dope name overall. Why did your parents name you that?
I think my dad liked the author Zane Grey. Other than that, not sure there's really a reason, just unique.
Yeah, just they like the name. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, how many other Zanes have you met in your life?
Probably less than 10. Okay. Not many.
Okay. Well, I've got Ironbird's right-handed pitcher Zane Barnhart joining me on the pregame show. Zane, thank you so much for your time. Keep doing your thing out there, man.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
So there is my pregame interview with Ironbird's right-handed pitcher Zane Barnhart. Really fun conversation with Zane, an underrated arm in this Orioles organization. He's had a really nice season so far for the Birds. A young kid after 3 years of D2 baseball is now a professional. I mean, this is a guy who weighed 170 pounds going into college baseball, bulked up, and he was the 387th ranked player by Perfect Game in the state of Ohio as a high school senior, and then less than 4 years later, he was drafted by the Orioles. So a pretty cool story, and it was fun to catch up with Zane, who was originally born in Towson, Maryland, spent the first few years of his life in Arizona, then moved to Ohio with his family. But his grandparents still live here. He talked about it in the interview. They get a chance to see him pitch in person a lot, which was really cool. Well, Ironbirds fans, I'm going to get the starting lineups and the pitching matchup out after the anthem. But first, I'm going to introduce a guy who is no stranger to this ballpark. Steve Molesky from Masson is joining me for a few innings on tonight's broadcast. Steve, so awesome to have you back here at the ballpark with a headset on. I know you're here a lot covering the Ironbirds, but it's great to have you on the broadcast with me.
Michael, thank you for inviting me up. I'm glad I could finally make it. As you know, my schedule with the Major League team sends me on the road, has me do radio post-game show, some minor league stuff every now and again, but I'm not at a minor league ballpark as much as I would like to be, and it's great to be in Aberdeen tonight. Still beautiful here at Ripken Stadium.
Yeah, well, that was one of the first things you said when you got up to the booth. You know, I forgot how beautiful this view was up here, but
awesome.
It's my favorite view in the ballpark. Of course,
yes.
I'm biased because I'm working here every night, but it's awesome up here in the broadcast booth, so it's great to have you here, Steve. I appreciate it a lot.
Well, thanks for inviting me up again. And, you know, I was trying to remember the years I was here. I did the radio broadcast of the Ironbirds, and I think it was 4, 5, and 6. Mm-hmm. The first 2 years, we didn't do great. The last year, we kind of let a playoff berth get away at the very end of the year. And then I think it was a couple years later, Aberdeen finally got to the postseason.
Well, Ironbirds fan Steve's going to be with me for a few innings tonight. We'll take a break for the national anthem, and then it is game two of a 6-game series between the Ironbirds and the Grasshoppers. Stay locked in on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network.
Switch this a little. There we go. We used to do something crazy. We used to take a mic and
just a couple of minutes away from baseball here in Aberdeen, Maryland, as we get set to play game 2 of 6 between the Birds and the Hoppers. The Birds dropped last night's series opener, but they fought until the end, brought the tying run to the plate before the Grasshoppers held them off and picked up the win. Well, right-hander Jackson Baumeister gets the ball for the Birds tonight. He's out ready to chuck his warm-up pitches. On the flip side, the Grasshoppers will counter with left-hander Dominic Paracci. So those two going at it today. And while Baumeister throws his warm-up pitches, let's get you the starting lineups in tonight's game. For the Ironbirds, it's Enrique Bradfield Jr. in center field in the leadoff spot. Tavian Josenberger is the designated hitter. He bats second. Douglas Hodo's in right field batting third. Creed Willems, the catcher, bats fourth. Adam Retzbach is at first base batting fifth. Carter Young is the shortstop. He's in the sixth hole. Maxwell Costas, third baseman, bats seventh. Noelbert Romero is at second base, batting eighth. And rounding out the lineup, batting ninth, it's the left fielder, Angel Tejada. So one more time, 1-9 for the Birds. It's Bradfield, Josenberger, Hodo, Willems, Retzbach, Young, Costas, Romero, Tejada. And then on the flip side for the Hoppers, Tamar Johnson is the designated hitter. He's in the leadoff spot. Mitch Jebb is the shortstop, batting second. Jack Brannigan is at second base, batting third. Nick Cimillo is over at first base. He's in the four hole. Sean Ross doing the catching, batting fifth. Josiah Seitler is in right field. He bats sixth. P.J. Hilson is in center in the seven hole. Luke Brown is in left field, batting eighth, and rounding out the lineup in the nine spot, it's the third baseman, Kalai Harrison. So one more time, 1-9 for the Hoppers. It's Johnson, Jeb, Brannigan, Cimillo, Ross, Seitler, Hilson, Brown, Harrison. Michael Marcantonini and Steve Molesky with you on the broadcast tonight. Steve, great to have you here in the booth. And I know before the anthem, we were talking about the years that you were here as the voice of the Ironbirds in the early 2000s. And, you know, just before I went on with the pregame show, you were, you know, rifling through binders with box scores and game notes from those
interesting
years.
Names.
How cool is that looking back?
Very cool. You know, Andy Etchebarren was the manager my last 2 years here, Don Buford the first. So, man, I got to know a couple of great Orioles. And, of course, Etch has passed away, and may he rest in peace. And he liked to remind me every day he was number eight before Cal. He wore number eight in the late 60s and into the early 70s. But I had a great time when I was here.
So Steve with me for a few innings tonight. Here's Tamar Johnson, the designated hitter in the leadoff spot. He is the Pirates' number one prospect. Facing Ballmeister, first pitch from Jackson is in for a strike, and it's 0-1. Ballmeister, 6 feet 4 inches tall. He's just 21 years old. In his first pro season out of Florida State University, the former Seminole, the highest drafted pitcher of the Mike Elias era, as he catches the outside corner with that pitch, and the count is quickly 0-2. Ballmeister has a fastball, a curveball, a sweeper, and a changeup to work with, and he tops out at 96 with the fastball. Working fast so far tonight, 0-2 to Johnson, curveball low. And Steve, I know that you had a story on Jackson come out today on Masson.
I did, yes. This morning on MassonSports.com, I interviewed Jackson over the weekend, and tell you more about it in a moment.
Two-strike pitch, swing and a miss. Johnson gone on strikes, and Ballmeister with a nice start to his night. One up, one down. Let's quickly set the defense for Aberdeen. Creed Willems is catching with Maxwell Costas at third and Carter Young at short. Noelbert Romero is at second base and Adam Retzbach at first. In the outfield, Angel Tejada in left, Enrique Bradfield Jr. in center. And Douglas Hodo in right. So one up, one down as Johnson sits down. And that brings up Mitch Jebb, who reached safely in all five of his plate appearances last night. Slaps one out to short. Young has it. Low throw to first. Retz digs it out. It went off of his glove and up the first base line, but recovered by Romero. A one-out base runner. But that had to have been a cool interview with Jackson, C, because I've loved every chance I've had to talk to Jackson.
He's a very intelligent kid, as you know, and he's very driven. Just 21 years old, he was a draft-eligible sophomore. And he might have been one of the top-round picks in 2021 coming out of high school, Jacksonville, Florida, where he was a catcher and pitcher until his senior year. Then he pitched only. And he really, really loved Florida State. He committed in the eighth grade, and he went to play 2 years with the Seminoles.
First pitch, fastball in for a strike to Jack Brannigan. The count's 0-1. No score, runner at first, no outs after the Young error at short. But, you know, I've got a good story on top of that with the Florida State connection for Jackson. But, you know, what did you guys talk about, you know, maybe that, you know, for people that haven't seen the story?
Well, Florida State doesn't dip into the analytics near the level the Oriole minor leaguers do. So he said he's really... This is the first time in his life he's really worked on pitch development in cahoots with analytics. You know, look at the data.
Pitch misses outside. The count's 1-2 now on Brannigan.
And, I mean, these guys get real-time feedback in their bullpens. They can get, you know, what's the spin rate? What's the movement look like? If you change your grip just a little bit, what does that do? And using data and analytics to throw. The changeup is a particular pitch he cited because, you know, his sweeper, slider, and changeup are the two he throws the least. You know, he's a fastball, curveball guy, probably 80%. And so he's learning to develop these other pitches.
Counts 1-2. And there's a snap throw down to first. Pitch missed high. Oh, it's actually called a strike. So another strikeout for Ballmeister. The two punch outs, and Brannigan A little surprised at that call, but he has gone for out number two, and that brings up Nick Cimillo. I think it's so cool how much access these guys have to the data and the numbers and the advanced analytics that are helping them succeed out on the diamond. And, you know, it's a lot. I mean, one, you know, it's there for you to use, but you have to learn what it all means and how to incorporate it.
Well, when Chris Holt and Mike Elias came over from Houston in 2019, that was the first time the Orioles really on the farm dipped in heavily with their pitchers in data and analytics.
This one popped up behind home plate, out of play, foul. It's 0-1 on Cimillo.
And I had minor league pitchers tell me then, Chris Holt presented it almost like a college class. A little bit Monday, a little more Tuesday, a little more Wednesday. He was introducing it. This is what it is. This is how we're going to use it. This is how it can help you. And, of course, forward 5 years later, now all these guys are really well-versed. They use it throughout the winter, not just in season.
Big hole on the right side. This one's driven to right field. Hodo shading his eyes from the sun, and he makes the catch to retire the side. Cimillo flies out, and we are through the top of the first here in Aberdeen. No runs, no hits, one error. And one man left off. Good first inning and quick one for Jackson Baumeister. We'll go to the home half of the first and see if the Ironbirds can get on the board first. Stay locked in on MILB TV and Bally Live. We go to the home half of the first inning here in Aberdeen. No score after the top half. Jackson Baumeister, two strikeouts in a scoreless top of the first inning. He looks really good in his team-leading 15th start of the season. And here in the bottom of the first inning, it's Enrique Bradfield Jr., Tavian Josenberger, and Douglas Hodo, the top three, due up against Greensboro left-hander Dominic Paracci, 6 feet 4 inches tall, 23 years old, in his second pro season. He's ready to rock. First pitch to EBJ, misses downstairs. And the count is 1-0. Paracci, an 11th round pick of the Pirates in 2022 out of Division III Salve Regina University in Rhode Island. Bradfield slaps one to the left side. That's down in the outfield for a base hit. Brown picks it up on a hop, gets it in. And a leadoff single for Enrique Bradfield Jr. Steve, a guy that I know you know pretty well and a guy that everybody in this organization is excited about.
Well, what he did right there is probably would please the front office in Baltimore, man. He hit it where it was pitched. He didn't try to do too much with that pitch. Just serve a single in the left field. And the one thing you hear about him, Michael, is he knows his game. He knows he's not a home run hitter. Occasionally he's going to hit one. But he knows how the game he has to play to be successful.
Inching off of first. Here's Josenberger, shows bunt and fouls it back. He's batting from the right side against the lefty Paracci. Josenberger was hitless going into the bottom of the ninth inning on Sunday, his first game off the IL, and after a 20-minute rain delay with two outs in the bottom of the ninth, Josenberger stepped into the batter's box, representing the winning run, swung at the first pitch, and hit it into the Ironbirds' bullpen over the right field wall, a walk-off three-run homer. Swings and misses there, it's 0-2, and I talked to Tavian today. He said that's the first-ever walk-off homer he's hit. The last walk-off of any kind he hit was back in high school, didn't hit any in college. His family was here to see the walk-off on Sunday, so just a really special moment for Tavian and his family. Grounded to third. Harrison has it, goes to second for one, over to first, not in time. Josenberger beat it. So a 5-4 fielder's choice, and Bradfield's retired for the first out.
Well, while I'm promoting my stories, I'll already push the one on Jackson Ballmeister for people to go see at BassettSports.com. But later this week, I'll be writing about the most prolific base-stealing team in all of minor league baseball, which is the one we're watching tonight, yep. The Aberdeen Ironbirds. If fans haven't looked at their stolen base numbers, check them out because they now have over 200 this year.
Yep.
I find that number crazy.
It is. It's pretty wild. The only team in minor league baseball or in all of professional baseball, if you want to continue to expand it, with over 200 stolen bases this season, move over to first, Josenberger's back. And I mean, this is a team that on a nightly basis just continues to apply pressure to opposing pitchers, the defense out in the field. The Ironbirds have 21 games this year in which they've stolen four or more bases. Liner into the seats down the left field line. Counts 1-1 on Doug Hodo. I mean, it's literally every night, Steve, that we're seeing this.
It's impressive. They just put pressure on the defense with their base stealing. And to hear Felipe Alou tell it, it's a good base running team for nine innings, first to third, second to home. So they put pressure on teams just beyond the prolific base stealing.
Paracci to the plate. Hodo chops one off of his back leg, and the count is 1-2. I mean, that's exactly it. And that's what I've noticed. It's not just guys swiping bags. It's getting good reads on balls to the outfield, you know, scoring from first on a double that maybe doesn't get to the wall, or going first to third on a single hit right at an outfielder because they get great jumps, sharp turns at the bag. Josenberger takes off. Pitches a called strike, so Hodo's out, but Josenberger is in at second with a stolen base, and he's in the scoring position with two down.
No throw. Now he did that off a lefty, man, so there's the speed. And you know this, Michael, because you see him every night, but I didn't until Felipe told me, you know, Bradfield could get a nice race from Josenberger, apparently. He's almost as fast, and I guess those are the two fastest guys.
Yeah.
But several other base stealers can really run, too.
Here's Creed Willems, fouls a pitch back. No score, bottom of the first inning, two outs, and Josenberger at second. 31 steals now for Tavian Josenberger in 35 tries this year. That ties him for second on the team this season. The man he's tied with is now in Double-A, Matthew Etzel. 0-1 in for a strike. But Enrique Bradfield Jr., who singled to start the bottom of the first inning, Steve, 39 stolen bases this year. He's third in all of minor league baseball. Very good chance that he could crack the top two, maybe even get the top spot by the end of the year. Left on left, Josenberger takes off for third. Pitch misses outside, and again, no throw. Two stolen bases for Josenberger here in the first, and he's at third with two down now.
I mean, pretty impressive. No throw, and I mean, these teams know they run, right? I mean, they got the stats, and they can't stop it.
Pitch to Creed. Tried to check his swing, but he went around, and the inning is over. So a strikeout two strikeouts now for Paracci after he got Hodo, and now he gets Willems. So that ends the bottom of the first inning. The Birds got a runner to third, but that is it. No score after an inning of play. We'll go to the top of the second. Stay locked in on MILB TV and Bally Live. We move to the top of the second inning here in Aberdeen. No score after one. Jackson Ballmeister and Dominic Paracci with scoreless first innings. Now here in the second, Ballmeister gets Sean Ross, Josiah Seitler, and P.J. Hilson, 5-6-7 for the Hoppers. Talking to Steve Molesky from Masson. Steve, No stranger to Birdland, no stranger to Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. He called games here for a few seasons back in the early and mid-2000s. And Steve, you were talking a little bit about that earlier, but how cool is it now that, you know, you were working for an Orioles minor league team for a bunch of years, and now you've spent a long time covering the big league team and now seeing what could be maybe the most successful era in franchise history unfolding?
Well, it is. And fans have asked me, when have you covered the minors when they've been this good for the Orioles? And the answer is never. They've never been this good. And you probably have to go back to guys like Don Baylor and Bobby Gritch in 1970-71, that era, when Birdland was really great, and it was a great era in the big leagues then too.
Baumeister has the count 1-1 on Ross, who swings and misses at that next pitch. Looked like the sweeper outside. And it's 1-2 on the Hopper's catcher. He asks for time. But it's always great when the big league club is winning games and contending while the minor league system at every level is producing wins as well. 1-2 outside. Because normally, a lot of times, it's either the big league team is good and the minor league system's not great, or the minor league system's great but the big league team's not good.
Well, one thing I've learned over the years, you cannot tell the quality of minor league system by looking at individual team win-loss records.
Yeah.
And that applies to the Orioles right now. There aren't any other four full-season teams tearing it up. I think you guys got the best record. Probably, what, 4 or 5 over 500, whatever it is right now.
Yeah, 6 over.
And, you know, AAA's under 500, but look at all the prospects. So, really, it's about individual player development. Who's moving up through the system? Who can eventually help the big league team?
3-2 fouled away.
And even Douglas Hodo today made the point to me, and he's not wrong. This might rub some people the wrong way. I don't know. I hope it doesn't. But the pressure to win was bigger at Texas in his college than it is in the minor leagues, because it's not all about winning every night. It's about player development and getting better. And you can develop players even if the team doesn't have a great record.
3-2, a little bit downstairs, and Ross works a leadoff walk here in the second. Well, that's a great point that you bring up, and it takes me back to something that Creed Willems said earlier this season, and he was asked about the decision to go pro and sign when he was drafted and forego the commitment to TCU, and, you know, high school kid, that's a big jump to go to pro ball. He said one of the biggest reasons why he decided to, you know, certain factors like money and just the situation had to be right, but overall, if he had gone to college, he said that, as this pitch from Baumeister misses a little bit low, he said that if he had gone to college, everything that would have happened in that TCU program, like everywhere else, the decisions would have been made to win every game. And that may have stunted development for certain guys at certain times. But whereas in pro ball, it's all about developing these guys as players, and the wins are just icing on the cake. So I thought that really stood out to me.
Well, I broadcast Aberdeen games back in the day, and I broadcast Florida State games back in the day. And I can tell you the pressure to win was greater on the kids in the college program than it ever was the players I saw here in Aberdeen.
Pitch misses outside to Josiah Seitler, and it's 2-0. So Baumeister trying to regain control of the strike zone in a scoreless game here in the second. So for Creed, you know, when I talked to him about that at the time, that was big for him because he knew – developing as a professional in the Orioles organization may have been a better bet than trying to develop as a player in college. Because, you know, if you're in a slump in college, you may get yanked out of the lineup and never get back in there. Whereas in pro ball, they're going to let it ride out and they're going to specifically work with you behind the scenes to fix whatever's not working.
Well, it's exactly right.
3-1 pitch. Liner out to second. It goes off of Romero's glove. He flips to second for one. Over to first. It's in time for the out. And it's because of the drop out of Romero's glove. It's a 4-6-3 double play. Wasn't trying to do that, and now I think Greensboro manager Blake Butler is going to talk to the base umpire Theo Arndt about this. I think he's going to say that, you know, it shouldn't be a double play, just call the out on the line. But now it looks like they're going to talk. Theo Arndt's going to talk with the home plate umpire Davion Fry about it. But for now, it's a 4-6-3 double play.
Well, you can't get an infield fly roll with one man on.
Right.
So, I mean, a fielder can intentionally drop the ball. Mm-hmm. That's within the rules of the game as far as I know.
Sure.
I don't see how they could say anything was wrong there. And I don't know if he intentionally dropped the ball. It didn't look like it to the live eye.
It almost looked like he took his eye off of it.
Right.
Ready to throw it back to first before he had it in his glove. And, you know, because of that, it looks like it's going to work out in the Ironbirds' favor. But like you said, only one on, so no infield fly. And even if it was first and second, I don't know that you can call an infield fly because it wasn't high enough in the air.
No. And I think the batter didn't run as hard. I wasn't watching him either. I was watching the fielder. But it seemed like it took him a long time to get down there.
Yeah.
And they were able to turn two, and maybe he gave up on that play thinking it would be a line out.
So a 4-6-3 double play. Here's P.J. Hilson, the center fielder. Base is empty as Baumeister kicks the leg high and gets a pitch in on the hands of Hilson, swing and a miss. Really good numbers for Baumeister this year. In 14 starts, he has a 2.60 ERA. 65 strikeouts entering tonight's game, now up to 67. Opponents hitting just 192 against him, and he gets another swing and a miss there. Well, I've found just from talking to Jackson, whether it's talking just regular conversation or an interview, I mean, this dude has a lot of good things to say on a lot of different topics, and I'm sure you felt the same thing with the interview, and he gets another swing and a miss here. So Baumeister with his third punch out through two scoreless. He faces the minimum three in the top of the second, so we'll go to the home half, see if the Ironbirds can get on the board first. No score. Bottom two in Aberdeen next. Bottom of the second inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Michael Mark Cantonini and Steve Molesky with you on the call tonight. Bottom two, Retzbach, Young, and Costas against Greensboro left-hander Dominic Paracci, who picked up two strikeouts in a scoreless first inning. The Birds left Josenberger at third. Josenberger stole second and third as the Birds continue to swipe bags at a high rate. And here is Adam Retzbach, who is riding a season-best 16-game on-base streak. It started on June 5th. And he extended it last night with a solo homer late in the game. First pitch to Retz misses outside. It's the second longest active on-base streak in the South Atlantic League, trailing only Hudson Valley's Rock Reggio, who's reached in 19 straight. Retz awaits the 1-0 from Paracci and takes that low. It's 2-0. Retz has reached 28 total times on the streak. And this Orioles system, so deep at the catcher position, with Retzbach swinging the bat the way he is, it continues to get deeper. 2-0 pitch. That's in for a strike.
Well, one thing the Orioles are doing well right now, man, they're functioning on all cylinders. They have a major league team that can win 100 games. They have the number one ranked farm. They have an international program that's really starting to hum.
2-1. Retz takes a strike. So a patient approach here counts 2-2. And I know that that is something that a lot of people have talked about, is now that they have been so successful signing guys internationally, especially down in the Dominican Republic, it's just adding to the talent overall in the organization, and of course it's going to pay off for the big league team, which is so homegrown from United States-born domestic players. Two balls and two strikes on Retzbach. Slow windup from Paracci. Here it is. Retz lines one to left field. Brown is over. He makes the catch, but even when Adam Retzbach is making outs on this streak, he is hitting the ball hard, and he is retired for out number one, and that brings up Carter Young. Well, Steve, I know that you've done a lot of stories on players here at Aberdeen the last few seasons. Of course, had a chance to cover the 2022 playoff run. You know, just in my tenure here, so the end of 2022 until now, do you have a favorite story that you've written on an Ironbirds player or coach?
Well, I have a memorable one with Gunnar Henderson, and no one remembers this now. But when he went from Delmarva to Aberdeen, he went 1-for-31 in his first few 10 games or so with the Ironbirds. And late that year, he made to Bowie. He got together, and he was league average or better by the time he got out of here. And I don't think he tore it up with the Ironbirds. We could probably go look at the numbers. But I asked him, kid, I know one thing that never happened to you is 1-for-31. How did you handle that?
Here's a 2-0 pitch to Carter Young. Fouls it back. Switch hitter batting from the right side.
And he actually appreciated that it happened. Because he said then he was changing something every day, which was the exact wrong thing to do. And now when he struggles at the big league level, which he doesn't very much, as we know, he realizes just keep your process, keep your approach, don't change anything, because he did that in Aberdeen, and it just got worse. And he actually eventually went to do some mental skills work with some of the mental skills coaches in the organization who kind of reassured him, just stick with your process, believe in the coaches, what they're telling you, and you'll get out of it. And he did, of course. But I don't think anybody would think now Gunnar Henderson ever went 1-for-31 at any level of ball. But he did when he came here.
It's crazy to think about. We're talking about, you know, a top five player in the big leagues right now in terms of production. 2-2, Young takes just off the plate, and it's ball three. Parachi thought it was strike three. The count's now full after a couple foul balls from Young. But, I mean, it really puts into perspective, you know, what the minor leagues is like. And, you know, it's not always success at every level for these guys. Here's the 3-2 pitch to Young. Swing and a miss. Chased a ball in the dirt. Ross, the catcher, picks it up, throws down to first. And a K and a 2-3 put out is out number two here in the second. Well, Steve, I mean, knowing that Gunnar in high A went 1-for-31 to start his time here, it's crazy to think that a guy like Jackson Holliday, who got to the big leagues at age 20, struggled for the first time in his life at baseball in the
exactly.
big leagues.
Yes. And I talked to Gunnar about that this year. I said, you can relate, man. I remember Aberdeen. I mean, it's still, you know, Aberdeen and Baltimore, come on, it's very different. But that's the first time Gunnar professionally struggled, and this is really the first time Jackson professionally has struggled, obviously.
Here's Maxwell Costas with two outs and the bases empty. Swing and a miss, counts 0-2. No score, bottom two.
But I've seen few top prospects be in such a fishbowl that Jackson Holliday was this year. I mean, he was doing three interviews every day in spring training.
Costas just got drilled on the hand, and he falls down around the plate. He's hunched over, holding his hand in the left-handed batter's box. Now he gets up. Ironbirds head athletic trainer Tori Atencio is out to check on him. Now he's bent over about a fifth of the way up that first baseline. Felipe over to check on him as well. But that's always scary when you see a guy get hit around the hand. And now if you're watching the broadcast at home, you see that Tori and Felipe are taking a look at his left hand right around the side of the hand. So it got him on that bottom hand on the bat. You just hope that all those little bones in the hand are still in place.
Yeah, good sign. He's flexing it the way he is, and he's walking to first. Tough kid.
Oh, really tough kid. And, you know, it's great to see that he was able to shake that off quickly. And, of course, they'll, you know, that's something they'll have to monitor even throughout this game if he stays in moving forward and, you know, after the game tomorrow. But it's good to see that he's not in so much pain or that it didn't catch him square to bone that he's got to come out right now. So a runner at first with two down. Here is Noelbert Romero. And, Steve, I know you wrote a cool story on Romero last season. It's one that I've referenced on the broadcast multiple times. He was the first graduate of the Orioles education program, you know, essentially getting his high school degree here in the States and, you know, learning English along the way.
Exactly. I think for him it really started in the pandemic, and some of the Oriole international kids started taking more online classes and moving towards their graduation. Of course, as a lot of fans know, with the international, some of these kids sign at 16. And, you know, an American kid might be in 10th grade. And so some of them have to go to get their education other ways, and the Orioles are really helpful to their international kids through that program.
Popped up right side out of play. And I've had a chance to talk to Romero a few times here in Aberdeen. I mean, he speaks great English.
Yes.
Especially for somebody who grew up in Venezuela, and again, like you said, was signed as a teenager. Next pitch to Romero, takes outside, counts 3-1.
One thing that touched me when I did that story with him was he loved the fact that he wouldn't then be a role model for others. If I can do this, you can do it. And that's pretty special when you hear a kid talk about that. So the kids coming before him, you can get your education. I did. And like he said, now I have that. They can never take that away from me. If it doesn't work out in pro ball, I have something to fall back on. And that's a life skill, beyond a baseball skill.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, being bilingual. And it's a goal of mine to eventually be fluent in Spanish. Now, my Spanish is okay. I practice it with the guys here in Aberdeen, and it's getting better. 3-2 pitch. Runner takes off from first. That's Costas. And it's a walk to Romero. So it's first and second with two down. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, baseball doesn't last forever. All of these guys are going to have to do something after their career, whether they play one more year or 20 more years.
Well, the Orioles have a special woman in their organization named Anaima Garcia. And I think she's based in the Dominican Republic. And she works very closely. I believe her title is educational coordinator.
Here's Angel Tejada, takes a strike, count is 0-1 in a scoreless game here in the second.
And she works with the Dominican kids, Venezuelan kids, some of the international youngsters on education and life skills. And she teaches them how to go to McDonald's and make change. Some of these kids coming from the Dominican, they've never done that. Things we take for granted and things that get them through every day. And she's just a fantastic resource for the Orioles, and she's so positive about what she does. And let me tell you, these Dominican kids, they love Anaima.
Yeah, no, she's done a great job. I've heard nothing but good things, and these guys are making strides with their English. So Tejada chased the pitch out of the zone. He has gone on strikes. 4 punch-outs for Dominic Piracci through 2 scoreless. We are scoreless through 2 here in Aberdeen. We'll head to the top of the third and see if the Ironbirds can hold it where it is when we come back on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. We go to the top of the third inning here in Aberdeen. No score between the Ironbirds and the Hoppers in game 2 of this 6-game series. Home and home, first 3 in Aberdeen, the next 3 in Greensboro. Birds lost 8-6 last night, looking to get back in the win column tonight. Baumeister is through 2 scoreless innings at 27 pitches, 18 strikes, so he has been really efficient. And now he gets 8-9-1, Luke Brown, Kalai Harrison, and Tamar Johnson in the Hoppers' order. 3 strikeouts for Baumeister so far, as he tries to complete a third scoreless frame. High leg kick, first pitch of the inning, slap foul, and the count's 0-1. Baumeister last pitched on Wednesday at home against Brooklyn, threw 70 pitches, 39 strikes. Gave up just 1 earned run on 3 hits and 3 2/3, 6 strikeouts in what turned into an Ironbirds walk-off win in 9 innings. 0-1 pitch, the 8-hole hitter Brown shows bunt, pulls back, and the count is 1-1. Baumeister, in 5 starts in June, pitched to a 3.27 ERA, 21 strikeouts, 11 walks, looking for an even better month of July. 1-1, pitch misses a little high. And Steve, before the break, we were talking about the Orioles education program and what everybody in the system has, coming from the Dominican, Venezuela, wherever, learning English, learning how to, navigate life in the States. 2-1, misses high. And I remember last year, Ironbirds manager Roberto Mercado told me that sometimes they would do one of the pregame meetings in Spanish to give the U.S. players a taste of what it's like as an international player having to hear these meetings in English. 2-1 pitch from Jackson, that's down, or 3-1 pitch, and it's ball four. And he said, you know, that's a big shock to them because it's, like you said, it's something that we take for granted. But I think it just puts into perspective, you know, that it's not as easy for everybody.
Well, it's when I first really learned when I was doing the Aberdeen games about 20 years ago. It was hammered home to me how big international players are in the game. And Andy Etchebarren used to tell me about the two meetings they would have before every game. And I said, why do you have two meetings? He says, well, one for the English-speaking players and one for the Spanish-speaking players. I said, oh, wow, yeah. Never thought of that. He goes, yeah, two meetings. And I realized when I'd be around the batting cage, you know, because I didn't speak their language, there were some kids I could not communicate with. And that made me sad as a broadcaster. I couldn't tell their full story like I could some other kids, you know?
Right. No, it's tough. And for me, this year, more than last, I've really tried to make the effort to practice speaking Spanish and talk to the Latin American players here with the Ironbirds, because there are a lot of them, and they're more coming from Delmarva. 2-0, swing and a miss from Kalai Harrison. The count's 2-0. I mean, today I'm out in the field shagging BP, and I'm talking with Edgar Portes and Yaki Rivera. And, you know, Edgar speaks a little English, Yaki not so much. So, you know, we're all working together to, you know, help each other out, which was really cool. 2-1 pitch from Jackson outside. It's 3-1.
Well, we've seen it in the Baltimore clubhouse. Anthony Santander's English, it just keeps getting better and better. He's such a delightful guy to cover. And, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, he probably would never do an interview without an interpreter. Now he does most of his interviews without interpreting help. And it's just really cool to see him blossom in that way, you know.
So Harrison works a 5-pitch walk, back-to-back free passes issued by Ballmeister. So first and second, no outs in the top of the third. And we go back to the top for Tamar Johnson, the DH, as Willems goes out to talk to Ballmeister.
And one thing Major League Baseball did a couple years ago, which was a great move. Every Major League team now travels with an interpreter, which we didn't have for years. It was, could we get a coach? Could we find someone who could interpret for some players? And some players would speak, and maybe we didn't completely get their quotes, and that was frustrating as a writer. You want to quote them properly, and you want to be able to feature them. But we have several players who we know, if we're going to interview, we're going to need interpreting help. And the Orioles have Brandon Quinones, who works on their public relations staff, who is exceptional. Oriole fans see him on Masson when Santander says, my guy, and it's Brandon on his right. They're close. That's just great. And, you know, in the media, we'll tell Q, as we all call him, hey, Q, I'd like to get so-and-so today. Can you get me 5 minutes with this player and help? And he knows, and he's the go-between for us.
Here's Tamar Johnson after pitching coach Jordy Henry went out to talk to Ballmeister and Willems. First and second, no outs. Johnson swings at the first pitch and fouls one away. The number one overall prospect in the Pirates system, the number 57 overall prospect in all of Major League Baseball, according to MLBPipeline.com. I mean, this kid is special, and he's got some serious confidence in his game. Drafted out of high school in 2022, and he slaps one to the left side. Not hard hit, but it's into the outfield. It's station-to-station baseball for the Hoppers, and the bases are loaded with no outs here in the third.
Wasn't he drafted the same year Jackson was, right?
Yeah, four of the top five picks in the 2022 draft, high school kids, and Johnson, one of them, fourth overall to the Pirates after the O's picked Holiday number one overall. Drew Jones, the son of Andrew Jones, went number two to the D-backs. And now more than ever, Steve, we're seeing so much college talent at the top of drafts. I mean, that was an outlier draft where there was so much big-time high school talent. Bases loaded, no outs. Here's the pitch from Ballmeister, fouled back by Jeb. It's 0-1.
Yeah, this draft coming up might have 20 college hitters taken in the first round, some of the experts say. There are some pitchers in that 20. The Orioles have the 22nd and 32nd pick, and I know fans are always worried about pitching. Will this be the year they draft a pitcher that highly?
0-1. Fastball missed just up top, and it's 1-1.
Because as you have said, the highest drafted pitcher under Mike Elias is the guy we're watching, Jackson Ballmeister, number 63 last year. Competitive balance round B just before the third round.
Looking to get himself out of this bases loaded, no out jam. Two walks and a single, 1-1. Fastball in for a strike. Well, in his last start this past Wednesday against Brooklyn, The bases were loaded in the second inning, and Baumeister worked his way out of a huge jam that night. Well, did allow a run in that second inning, but limited the damage. It was bases loaded, one out with a run already home, and he kept it to that one run. And the Ironbirds won the game 3-1 on Angel Tejada's walk-off two-run homer in the ninth. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Baumeister. Called strike three on the outside corner, and it's strikeout number four for Jackson. Well, that's one way to help yourself out of a jam. It starts with one. He gets it there. And with Jeb gone, that brings up Brannigan. Brannigan struck out looking his first time up. How about a double play ball right here? A little 6-4-3 action. Get him out of it. Big hole on the right side. The Ironbirds keep the infield back. 0-0 fouled back.
Sometimes in minor league baseball, the coaches and the front office don't mind if a prospect pitcher like Baumeister gets in a big jam because they want to see, well, how does he respond to that? You know, they can all look good when they're rolling and retiring batters one after another, but what about when he's in trouble?
0-1, liner down the left field line that should score two runners, maybe three. One is in, here comes the second, and the runner at first, Harrison, is held up. It's a two-run double for Jack Brannigan, and the Hoppers take a 2-0 lead here in the top of the third.
Yeah, that kid won that battle. I think he might have hung a curveball there. It looked like it was up. And he did with that what you're supposed to do with it, turned on it and ripped it into the left field corner.
A tough one there for Baumeister. And both batters who walked come in to score, Brown and Harrison. Johnson goes to third. And now second and third, one out for Nick Cimillo, the first baseman. And the Birds will play the infield in all the way around, down two. Baumeister out of the stretch. He's had to work out of the stretch a lot tonight. Fly ball sent in the air, deep left field. That's way up there. Tejada looks back, and that one is gone. A three-run home run for Nick Cimillo. And all of a sudden, it's 5-0 Grasshoppers. Well, a tough break for Baumeister, who just allowed his first home run of the season. He had gone into July without allowing a long ball. But he gives up a blast here, and that is the Hoppers' fifth home run in just two games so far this series.
Wow, that escalated quickly by their offense, and that kid jumped on a first pitch fastball. And that was a majestic home run up the visiting clubhouse roof. We got a fair piece of that one.
So here's Sean Ross, the seventh man to bat in the inning. Only one out. The bases are empty now after the three-run homer from Nick Cimillo. He went a little bit too far on that breaking ball. The count is 0-1. Well, the solo shots, you don't mind those. The three-run homer, that's a backbreaker, especially with two already in. 5-0 Hoppers. And now left-hander Davy Cruz is up in the Birds' bullpen. Breaking ball in for a strike. It's 0-2. And, Steve, you were just talking about how, you know, the organization doesn't mind when a guy gets into a little jam and has to work out of trouble, go through some adversity. And right now, a chance to see Baumeister bounce back from allowing the five runs.
Oh, yeah. Jackson, I'm going to take partial fault for that, man. I talked him into that adversity. But, again, it's okay. This is part of the process of a young pitcher and made a great pitch there, didn't he?
Another strikeout. That was an excellent pitch. Fastball in the outer half, and he freezes Ross. That's his fifth strikeout. So the Ks are piling up. And one thing I talked to Jackson about earlier in the homestand was about the adjustment from college ball to pro ball and, you know, throwing a lot less pitches, a lot less innings as a professional than these guys do as D1 college pitchers. He said he's still getting used to it. Sometimes it's frustrating because especially on the days where, you know, a guy feels great and you feel like you can throw the whole game, Jackson was saying. Now, maybe not tonight, but there are times where it's tough when you're rolling and you get the early hook, but he said, and one thing that you've talked about, Steve, as he gets a swing and a miss from Seitler, is it's more about the process than the results in each game. And, you know, he's really focused on that right now, trying to become a complete pitcher. The count is 1-1 on Seitler. Next pitch, swing and a miss.
I mean, that's really it. I mean, he told me he throws 60% four-seam, 20% curve, and 20% sweeper slider. Slash sweeper slider and changeup. So he probably over time might need to throw those third and fourth pitches a little more as he gets more confidence in them, because he knows you need three or four at the major league level.
1-2, that's away. It's 2-2. 5-0 Hoppers. And another thing that I you know, information I got out of Jackson is he said he threw maybe 10 changeups total in 2 years at Florida State. Now he throws sometimes 10 a game, even though it's, like you said, mainly fastball, curveball. Here's the 2-2, two-out pitch. That's outside.
Well, what he's doing in and around starts is he's throwing a lot of changeups in bullpens where he can get the data and the feedback on the spin rate, the movement. He can look at the grip, these high-speed cameras. I mean, they have so many amazing gadgets that give him instant feedback on, is that pitch doing what I want it to do?
3-2. That's low and away. Ball four. Ballmeister upset that he lost him there. And that could be it after that walk. Seitler, the eighth man to hit in the inning. Now P.J. Hilson, the ninth.
So he's having a rough inning here, but he told me that going into the winter, they showed him a changeup grip they thought could work for him and said, when you go to your facility in Jacksonville, work on that changeup, you know, tinker with it, toy with it, try this grip if you need to make adjustments. And they gave him some specific data points to try to hit. Here's the movement we're looking for. Here's the velocity difference between your fastball and changeup we like. Here's the late movement we like. Here's what the spin rate we like. So really specific data points to try to hit, and then to see, okay, how's that feel? You know, I'm not looking just to do a math equation here. How's it feel when I throw it? Is it comfortable? Am I gaining confidence? Do I know, you know? And he basically reached a point where he said, I'm with the changeup, it's a grip it and rip it. You know, I'm trying to throw it so it absolutely seems like a fastball, but it doesn't obviously have that movement and look at the plate to the hitters and fools them.
Well, that's incredible insight, Steve. I mean, what great timing that, you know, you're here to join me on the broadcast on the day that Jackson's pitching, on the day that your story comes out. You know, everything fell into place right there, but incredible insight.
And the day after I interviewed him, I went to Baltimore and I asked Kay Povich about that. Yeah. I said, you know, how about when you were at the higher levels working with your changeup? And he told me some things about that, and I plan to incorporate the two of them in one story coming up.
Yeah, that's awesome. The count is now 1-2 on Hilson, who just broke his bat on that flare up the third base line. New stick in the box. Count is 1-2 with two down and a runner at first. This is the ninth man to bat here in the top of the third. Birds down 5-0. Next pitch popped up over our heads in the broadcast booth, and we'll do the 1-2 again.
Now, you know, in the case of Povich, his changeup was more advanced coming out of Nebraska than Ballmeister's was coming out of Florida State. But just because it was a little better doesn't mean you're still not tinkering with it. You're working with it. He's tweaked it over the years, again, off some of the data and analytics and the coaching feedback that Ballmeister is getting.
Count is 1-2 still on Hilson after another fouled baseball back to the netting behind home plate. Ballmeister looking for his sixth punch out. He struck out six in his last start. We'll see if he can do it again. Trying to work around those five runs. 1-2, swing and a miss. He got him with a nasty curveball. And if that's it for Ballmeister, it's a big pitch to help get out of the third inning. He faced nine batters. He gave up five runs, including a three-run home run from Cimillo. But an excellent job by Ballmeister to get out of it with no further damage. And now we'll go to the bottom of the third and see if the Birds can get some runs. Stay locked in on MILB TV and Bally Live.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585 or email office@tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585, and you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information.
Bottom of the third inning here in Aberdeen. Top of the order for the Birds, down 5-0. The Hoppers just picked up 5 runs in the top of the third. Here's Enrique Bradfield Jr. takes a breaking ball in for a strike from Dominic Paracci, who threw 37 pitches to get through 2 innings and faced 9 batters, but 4 strikeouts and worked around a walk and a hit-by-pitch in the second. Bradfield takes inside. Count is 1-1. Talking to Steve Molesky from Masson. Former voice of the Ironbirds back in the broadcast booth here in the Dean. Great to have Steve back here. 1-1, Bradfield fouls it back. Well, Steve, I mean, it's really cool for me to have you on the broadcast because, well, one, it's one of the former voices of the Ironbirds here with me, but also you're one of the first people in the Baltimore media, the Orioles media landscape that I met when I was hired back in 2022. Bradfield takes outside 2-2.
And I'm glad you're here. You're doing a great job. And you put out good information for media, and we pick up things on the team when we listen to your broadcast. So really appreciate that on my end.
Ground ball back to the mound, picked by Paracci, throws to first, and Bradfield robbed of what could have been a infield base hit if that one snuck past Paracci's glove. But one up, one down here in the third. Well, I appreciate that, Steve. I think the goal for me is always, you know, I have to keep the audience informed, but at the same time, I want to entertain and trying to blend the two together and just at the same time, you know, having so much fun calling these games. And these guys make it easy on me with, you know, as exciting as these games are. So here's Tavian Josenberger.
Well, baseball play-by-play is about the hardest thing to do. Having done it at college level, the minor league level, and the major league level, I think calling a good baseball game is incredibly hard. And there's no handbook for it. There's no class you take. You just kind of develop your own style and your own rhythm and your own system over many, many games. And when I did the Ironbirds the first year, man, it took me 30 games till I felt comfortable doing it.
2-0 pitch in for a strike to Tavian. One out, no one on. Birds down 5.
It's just hard to do, and but it's so rewarding when you do it well. And you know, Michael, nights when you really feel like you had a good one, it's just so much fun.
Popped up to shallow center. The second baseman, Brannigan, is out. He makes the catch, 2-up, 2-down, and that's exactly it. I mean, on a nightly basis, you know, I'm taking notes in my journal after every game. You know, what did I like that I did? What did I do well? What can I improve on? How can I improve on it? And, yeah, I mean, I know as soon as I get off air, you know, at the end of the night, or really even as soon as the game starts, you know, and as the game goes on, you know, how well I think that I'm doing on air. But it's all about the reps, and it's, you know, it's a work in progress for sure. But you know, I know when I first met you here at the ballpark in 2022, late in that season when the Ironbirds were making the deep playoff run, you know, that was big for me because, you know, I was connecting with somebody who covers the Orioles on a daily basis and knows this system well and has been here for years. And you know, you were the first person that really helped me, like, you know, start building my Baltimore and my Orioles network of connections. Pitch to Hodo's in for a strike. It's 1-2.
Well, you have run with it, and thank you for saying that. And I always like to help young, talented people who really want to push to work, because the drive to work hard in the baseball industry, you see varying levels with young people. Mm-hmm. You know, some who kind of want it to happen fast and don't realize the dues you have to pay, and others like you who put in the time and effort. And heck, you went to Australia to call games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's I give you all the credit in the world for, you know, you went halfway around the world to gain experience, a great life experience and baseball experience. And there's no substitute for the reps of doing it.
100%. Next pitch to Hodo. That's downstairs. Paracci wanted that one, but it was low. And the count is 2-2 with the bases empty and 2 down here in the third. But, you know, any chance to call some games and be at a ballpark, you know, I'm taking that opportunity. Here's the 2-2 to Hodo. He tried to check his swing. Did he? He did. And the count is full.
I've said this many times. It's true, and you know it's true. A good minor league guy could walk into a major league booth and call a game, because in a major league booth, you have so much more help than you have in the minors when you're doing your own stats, your own notes, your own equipment.
Absolutely. Liner to left through the hole between short and third. It's a base hit for Douglas Hodo, and he is aboard with the Ironbirds' second hit of the night, and the inning continues for Creed Willems. Well, yeah, like you were saying, It's so hard to call a baseball game, especially solo. If you can call a baseball game solo, you can broadcast almost any sport out there.
Michael, in 2019, the Orioles had me do, on the Orioles.com, spring training games that were not over the air on the Internet. And I did those as a solo act. I ran the equipment, and each team had like 60 players on the roster at spring training. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, am I going to be able to do this? There's only going to be 50 guys playing this game today.
Pitch to Willems, swing and a miss, down and in. And it's tough in spring training. You know, you're crossing out names every three innings, you know, putting in the substitutes. And, you know, your book probably looks like a mess at the end of the game.
I was running the equipment. I was running commercials, or at least promos, off my laptop between innings and getting the changes and lugging it back and forth to the booth, 95 degrees in Florida. But I loved it.
Yeah.
I said, I want to do this, and I want to show the Orioles I'll do a good job, and I don't care how many challenges there are. We're going to get it done.
Pitch misses outside to Willems. It's 2-1 with Hoto at first and two down. Bird's looking to get on the board, looking for a two-out rally.
And the next year we did it, and I got a producer-engineer, and the Orioles said, we're getting you help this year. And I said, I could hug you. I won't.
Yeah.
You're safe, but I could.
2-1, Willems sends a breaking ball into right. Here comes Seitler. He makes the catch, and it immediately probably made everything easier on you.
Oh, times 100.
Absolutely. Well, Steve's going to be with me for one more inning here on the broadcast. Iron Birds fans, we'll take a break. The Birds go down quietly, no runs on one hit, no errors. One man left. Parachi's through three, scoreless. We are through three, and the Birds trail 5-0 as we go to the fourth. Jackson Ballmeister going back to work when we come back on the Birds Broadcast Network. Birds down 5-0, top of the fourth inning. Jackson Ballmeister back to work. 8-9-1, Brown, Harrison, Johnson. As Ballmeister looks to throw up a zero after allowing five in the third. He's at 61 pitches right now. And he throws a breaking ball in there for strike one. It's 0-1 on Brown, who walked and scored, leading off the third. Ballmeister has two more hitters, then back to the top for the third time through the order. A one from Jackson, that's downstairs.
This is not the first time I've written about a top prospect and he had a tough night. I always like, did I jinx that kid? I think I did with Jackson, but let me tell you something. You can see the stuff, and I saw the poise firsthand talking to him, and you've seen it. If he has a bad night tonight, it is going to be few and far between for him this season, which I'll bet you, I'll make a prediction here, he's going to end it with the Bay Sox.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's you know, a crazy bet because of how, like you talk about, how poised he is on the mound and how good the stuff is. And, you know, just the build and you know, his frame. You know, it's projectable moving forward. So that double-A call-up at some point this season, you know, I think that's a good bet. He picks up another strikeout here, 7 for him, as he gets the 8-hole hitter Brown. And that brings up Harrison.
Yeah, 94 on the radar gun on the video board, which shows us his velocity's holding as he gets to about where he usually gets to pitch count-wise, 70-ish. And he looked a little determined more on that strikeout.
Yeah, you could see the emotion after the punch-out. So that ties his career high. It's the third time he's picked up seven punch-outs in an outing. As he misses inside to the nine-hole hitter, Kalai Harrison. Left-hander Davy Cruz is still throwing in that Ironbirds bullpen. We'll see how many more batters Baumeister gets, up to 67 pitches now. Count is 1-0. Next pitch, grounded to the left side, past Costas. Young has it on the backhand. Throw to first in time. A great hold at the bag by Retzbach. Bang, bang at first. And the 6-3 putout is out number two here in the fourth.
Boy, nice play there by Carter Young, going to the backhand side. Got rid of the ball quickly. Got a pretty good throw off. And two away.
That brings up the left-handed hitting Tamar Johnson, the leadoff man. Two up, two down for Baumeister here in the fourth. Seven strikeouts. He's retired four of the last five batters he's faced since the Cimillo three-run homer that really broke this thing open. So an excellent job to bounce back after allowing his first homer of the year. He got Johnson on strikes to lead off the game. We'll see what he does here. First pitch to Johnson. Misses outside. It's 1-0.
These prospect matchups are always fun, too, to see a pitcher who's highly regarded like Baumeister facing a hitter like this.
Ready to rock. Here's Jackson's 1-0. Catches the outside corner, and the count is 1-1. Well, what I've been impressed with from Jackson this year is the fact that he's been able to get himself out of big jams, and even if he has a rough inning, he just kind of wipes it away and forgets about it, goes back out there and does his thing. Misses high with the fastball there. It's 2-1.
Well, he's trying to do that here. And, again, that's that adversity we talk about. You have a bad inning, man, in the big leagues. You got to go eat more innings after that. And your line's not going to look good no matter what, but go get some more zeros.
2-1 on Johnson with the bases empty. Baumeister looking for his first 1-2-3 inning of the night. 2-1 fouled back. It's 2-2. Costas, the third baseman, was up a little bit, but now with two strikes, he backs up. As the Birds play Johnson to pull in the infield. Enrique Bradfield Jr. is way in center. Now, that could just be because, you know, he's so fast he can go back on anything he wants to. 2-2 pitch. Tapper back past Baumeister, fielded by the shortstop Young on the first base side of second. Throw to first, not in time. Another really close play. Young did everything he could, trying to communicate with Romero up the middle and make a strong throw to first. So an infield knock for Tamar Johnson. He is 2-for-3. Baumeister made a nice pitch right there and, you know, did what he needed to do to get out of the inning, but that's just a tough spot in the infield. And it looks like that's it for Jackson. So Felipe is going to take the baseball from Baumeister and bring in left-hander Davy Cruz. But, Steve, how about the job that Jackson did to settle down and just kind of go back out there and forget about the homer after that big blast?
Yeah, that's what you want to see. And, I mean, that will be in the reports tonight that Felipe and the staff pass on to the front office in Baltimore. How he had a bad inning. And, you know, this was a case tonight. It sounds like you're making excuses for when I say this, of two bad pitches that were five runs.
Yeah.
And so you can't just blow that off. But you can also say he threw a lot of quality pitches tonight and showed some poise here this inning. And then last inning, he hung a curveball. He got slapped into the corner for a double. And then the next hitter really jumped the first pitch fastball. So he wishes he could have those both back. You can't. That's five runs. You'll never get off your record. But, again, he showed something coming out this inning. He got his pitch count. And he did a good job ultimately. And now he'll have time between starts to make the next one better than this one was.
The five runs tonight, the most that Baumeister has allowed in a start this season. But like you said, Steve, I think what really needs to be taken away from Jackson's start tonight, one, the strikeouts. He was getting swings and misses all night, and he was doing it against really good hitters in this Grasshoppers lineup, tied a career high with seven, you know, worked around those four walks, but, you know, it goes back to the two pitches, you know, the two-run double, the three-run homer, and I think that's what's great about minor league baseball, and especially what the Orioles are doing in this system is they're not worried about the results or what it looks like in the box score. They're worried about so many other things that, you know, paint a bigger picture.
Perfect example of that is Povich last year. people. This winter, I talked to many Oriole people about Cade Povich, who went at AA last year and AAA, finished with an ERA of like 5.04. And that doesn't look good, right? You're looking at his stats going, so-so year for Cade. And the Oriole people were telling me, no, Steve, don't.
Pitch misses high, and I think it clipped the top of Jeb's helmet there. So the first pitch from Davy Cruz, way wild, it was in. Johnson was off on the pitch, so he gets the second on the hit-by-pitch, not the stolen base.
But they felt like, okay, his final numbers aren't great. Within that, things that we wanted him to work on and get better, he did. He threw a lot better than the final stats might say. And it wasn't just talk from the Orioles, because look at the start he got off to. He was lighting it up at AAA early on, and now he's winning games in the big leagues.
First and second with two down. Here's Jack Brannigan, who doubled and scored back in that five-run third. So the first pitch that Davy Cruz threw, it hit the top of Mitch Jeb's helmet. Must have just grazed it, because it didn't look like it changed direction that much. Cruz has been a little wild lately. Looks at second, deep breath. 1-0, breaking ball popped up on the infield foul ground. Costas is over towards that third base dugout, makes the catch, and the inning is over. Ballmeister went the first 3 2/3. Davy Cruz just got the final out of the top of the fourth. We'll go to the bottom of the fourth. Steve sticking around for another half inning. Birds down 5-0. Keep it locked right here on MILB TV and Bally Live. We move to the bottom of the fourth inning here in Aberdeen. Michael Mark Cantonini and Steve Molesky with you on tonight's broadcast. It's been awesome having Steve with me in the booth. This is going to be his final half inning here in the booth. But, Steve, how does it feel to have the headset back on in Aberdeen?
It feels fun, man. It's a great franchise, a great ballpark. I've never not loved coming to Aberdeen. I loved every day when I came here and worked here every day. Great people then and great people now, so... I've been here a couple times in the last week, as you know, doing some interviews, some of which fans have seen already and some more they're going to see from the Iron Birds.
Birds down 5-0. Here's Adam Retzbach, and swings and fouls one off of the catcher, Sean Ross. He went down quickly, and he'll get a few extra moments.
So I have a question for you. Does your ballpark still play kind of neutral but a little more favoring pitching than hitting? Does that sound right?
It's definitely a more pitcher-friendly ballpark. Now, I don't think as much as people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody who comes in here saying, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, they see the deep power alleys and they just know the reputation that this ballpark has. But there have been so many players, mainly on the Ironbird side, that have made this ballpark look small. I mean, last year, Holiday, one of them, you know, his first game
right
here, crushed a ball to one of the deepest parts of the park, out past that flagpole in right center. I mean, Creed Willems has made this park look small. Samuel Basayo, T.T. Bowens before that. So, I mean, it does play big at times, but I think it gets a little bit of, you know, the reputation is a little bit
Right. My point, though, forward. Is we see many hitters move up to Double A and hit better statistically there than here. And I think ballpark factors into that, even though they're seeing better pitching, obviously.
Oh, no doubt. Well, I know the guys here have talked about the batter's eye, and they wish it was a little bit higher, and that would definitely help. But, yeah. No, I've heard, you know, when guys get to Bowie, the numbers jump. Counts 3-1 on Rets. Here's the next pitch, fouled back, it's 3-2.
I remember interviewing Heston Kerstad on that field right below us, and I told the kid, when you get to Bowie, you're going to like it better because the ball's going to carry more there. You're going to hit more homers there than here, and he probably did. But Heston can hit him out of any park.
Yeah.
I don't think he has to worry. That Grand Slam was pretty cool to see him hit, and he's really swinging it. And I know he's starting for the Orioles tonight in Seattle.
That dude's got some serious power.
Yep.
And he was just starting to come into that power when he was here in Aberdeen at the end of that 2022 season. Here's the 3-2 pitch to Retzbach. Hard hit ground ball to the left side, backhanded by Jeb. Long throw across the diamond, and it's in time to get Retzbach. So one up, one down here in the fourth for Dominic Piracci, who continues to ball out.
One of the longest home runs I've ever seen hit by minor league in Aberdeen. Ironically, was hit by one of the biggest first-round busts. We can say it now. He was Billy Rowe when he was here. Big, strong left-handed hitter they drafted out of a New Jersey high school.
Here's a pitch to Carter Young. Misses inside, counts 1-0. Birds down 5-0, bottom four.
And I was calling a game here one night, and he hit one over that batter's eye about 50 feet over it. I think it went to I-95 probably. It was one of the farthest balls I've ever seen hit here at Ripken Stadium. And, Michael, he didn't hit many others beyond that. He had that one special moment, and it was rough for Billy in an Oriole uniform.
2-0 to Young. Chopper to the left side. Jeb backhands another one. Another long throw to first, and it's dug out by Cimillo. Well, those two teaming up for back-to-back outs. Two up, two down for the Hoppers here in the bottom of the fourth. Well, Steve, what's next for you coming up this season? I mean, what road trips are you heading on covering the Orioles?
Well, I don't have one for a while. I'm going to Miami. Rock Kabaka, my colleague, is with the team on the West Coast this week. I'm going to Bowie tomorrow, actually, to do some stuff with the Bay Sox.
Okay.
And I was here this afternoon doing some stuff with the Ironbirds. So I got some minor league reporting coming this week, which I'm really excited about. I'm going to write tomorrow morning about the draft. I interviewed Jim Callis today, talking about what the Orioles might do at 22 and 32, their top two picks. So kind of a lot of player development type stuff coming from me this week on the website.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome stuff. As Costas swings through a 2-0, 2-1, and you know, can't get enough minor league coverage, especially in this system.
Right? No, I love it. I love it. And I just don't get to the minors as much as I once did. And so anytime I can be here, it's great.
Well, you've got minor league roots, and I think that's why I think that makes it, you know, it's relatable, you know, because you started in the minors and you cover in the big league team for so many years. I mean, I think your coverage is, you have a different perspective when you cover these
Orioles minor leaguers. And I reminded Felipe Alou today that he and I have been talking about Oriole players for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And he's one of the all-time good guys, Felipe. He's helped me many times at camp. He helped me. He's done a lot of interpreting for me over the years. Before there were more interpreting people, Felipe would do that. And, I mean, Felipe is one of the first guys when Basayo worked out for the Orioles before they'd even signed him. He worked with Felipe Alou.
Fly ball to right field. Seitler is there. He makes the catch. And it's a 1-2-3 top of the fourth inning for Dominic Piracci. Two ground outs and a fly out. Well, Steve Molesky from Masson joining me for four innings in the booth. Steve, thank you so much for doing this.
Michael, thank you for the invite. Keep doing the great work. And hope to see the Ironbirds keep winning.
Absolutely. Racking up the W's. And, Steve, on the flip side, I hope to see you at Camden Yards again this season. I know I'll be there at some point, but looking forward to linking up next time.
Come see us. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, Steve Molesky from Masson joining me for four innings in the booth. He'll take the headset off, but I will keep going. Top five coming up next on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Davy Cruz back to work in the top of the fifth inning. Birds down 5-0. Misses outside to the right-handed hitting first baseman Nick Cimillo, who broke this thing open with a three-run homer back in the third inning. All five Hoppers' runs came in the third. And now Cruz will look to settle it down. Ballmeister started for the Birds. Went 3 2/3. He looked really good. And as Steve said on the broadcast earlier, probably wishes he had two pitches back. And other than that, a really nice outing. A two-run double and a three-run homer. That's the difference right now. Pitch misses high and away. And the count is 3-0 on Nick Cimillo. Cimillo did not play last night, but quickly making his presence felt here tonight in Aberdeen. And now Davy Cruz will look to give the Birds some length out of the pen. 3-0 pitch, popped up out of play. Cimillo, Ross, and Seitler. Final line on Ballmeister, 5 runs on 4 hits in 3 2/3. A career high tying 7 strikeouts, 4 walks, 73 pitches, 45 strikes for Jackson. And now it's Davy Cruz's game. We'll see how long he goes. 3-1, that's outside, ball 4. Well, walks have been an issue for Cruz lately, as he issues a free pass to the leadoff man. That brings up the catcher, Sean Ross. Had the pleasure of talking to Steve Molesky from Masson for the first 4 innings of tonight's game, and it's just been so awesome connecting with Steve over the last few years since I took this broadcaster job here in Aberdeen. I started in August of 2022, and like I said earlier on the broadcast, Steve was the first Baltimore media member that I met here in Aberdeen and the first person to introduce himself to me and, you know, the first guy that I started talking ball with. And, you know, it's been great connecting with him and maintaining that friendship since we first met. And I think one of the biggest reasons why we've connected so well and stayed in touch is because Steve understands the minor league grind. I mean, he was a minor league broadcaster for a handful of seasons here in Aberdeen. He was a broadcaster at the collegiate level as well. And he just gets it. He knows what I'm going through, what other minor league broadcasters are going through. You know, he knows that we're trying to make it to the show at some point and all the work that we put in behind the scenes. So I've always appreciated Steve's perspective and understanding of, you know, what I'm doing in this role. So the connection with Steve, you know, it runs deep. And, you know, now it's cool to think back to when I first met Steve. Like I said, the first Baltimore media member that I met here in my time in Aberdeen. And now, you know, I'm friends and have built working relationships with so many. I mean, Steve was, you know, I think he might have been number 20 for my guests in the broadcast booth this season, up around 20. So it's just been so cool to connect with the Baltimore media and, you know, see this tight-knit community. And, you know, Steve, it all started with meeting Steve, which is really cool. So after a meeting on the mound, count is 2-0 on Ross, who swings and fouls one up the first baseline, 2-1. Cimillo still at first. Ironbirds pitching coach Jordy Henry went out for another chat with the battery mates Cruz and Willems. So if you're just tuned into the broadcast and missed Steve joining me, of course you'll have to go back later and watch the archived broadcast. But if you heard the conversation with Steve, I mean, this dude has been covering baseball for decades now, and he knows so much and has seen so much. It's really cool to just kind of pick his brain and, you know, hear stories from his time covering minor league baseball, major league baseball, college baseball. You know, and of course, it worked out so well that Steve just had a story with Jackson Ballmeister go out on Masson today, and Ballmeister's pitching on the day that Steve joins me on the broadcast. So a lot of great insight on Ballmeister. Cruz misses outside again, another walk. That is the 6th walk issued by the Ironbirds pitching staff tonight, and we are only in inning number 5. So that brings up Josiah Seitler, the right fielder. Bounced into a double play his first time up and walked his last time. So shout out to Steve for joining me for 4 innings. And if you want to follow Steve and keep up with what he's doing with Masson, it's at Masson Steve on Twitter/X. Well, Davy Cruz stays wild. He just hit Seitler. And it's walk, walk, hit by pitch, and the bases are loaded with no outs. More bullpen action for the Ironbirds. Right-hander Kyle Verbitsky is up. Verbitsky pitched on Sunday. So he's had one full day of rest. And now P.J. Hilson, who was 0-for-2 with two strikeouts. Well, Davy Cruz has put himself in this jam, and he has to find a way to work out of it. First pitch sweeper to Hilson in for a strike. It's 0-1. 5 runs on 4 hits, no errors for the Grasshoppers. No runs on 2 hits and 1 error for the Ironbirds. Game 2 of a 6-game home-and-home series. 3 here, 3 in Greensboro. 0-1, high and away. It's 1-1. Well, Cruz is wild high tonight. He's missed outside to righties and lefties. And most of his pitches that he's missed on are high out of the zone. Trying to settle himself down. Count is 1-1. Next pitch misses low in the zone. And it's 2-1. Long pause from Davey. Here's the 2-1 from the lefty. Fastball missed just off the plate. Well, that one looked good, but one of those situations where when you're as wild as Davy Cruz has been in this inning, that any pitch that's close and you don't get the call, you feel like you're getting squeezed. And he might have been squeezed there. But really has to bear down. Nowhere to put Hilson. The count is 3-1. Next pitch, swing and a miss. He went down and tried to get a piece of that one and came up empty. So the count goes full. And now Cruz has to come back with another big pitch. Cruz last pitched on Sunday and got himself out of a big bases loaded jam in the 8th inning. Birds eventually won on a walk-off. So here's Cruz set out on the hill. Nowhere to put Hilson. And the 3-2 breaking ball, swing and a miss. That's a massive punch out right there. And there is one out here in the 5th. That brings up Luke Brown, the left fielder, who did not play in last night's game. He's back in there today. So Hilson 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts. And now Davy Cruz gets to face back-to-back left-handed hitters. And he hopes that they're the last two hitters he has to face here in the inning. Chance to get out of a bases loaded, no out jam, but he misses low and away to the left fielder Brown. Well, Ballmeister did the Birds a big solid by getting through 3 2/3, working deep into that 4th inning. And he was on the ropes early, gave up those 5 runs in the 3rd, but managed to get 5 more outs after giving up those runs. 1-0 pitch, that missed as well. It is 2-0. Game 8 of a 9-game homestand for the Ironbirds. 6 against Brooklyn, and game 2 of 3 here against Greensboro. Left on left, leg kick 2-0, up and in, and that almost got a piece of Brown. Now if it did, it would have forced in another run. Another big pitch from Cruz. Has to come all the way back 3-0. Here it is. There's a strike. Well, that's the start. Cruz taking a lot of time in between pitches, 3-1. There's another strike, and it's 3-2. That's a big pitch right there. Brown thought it was ball 4. And now if Cruz can pick up a strikeout here, get an out that keeps all the runners where they are, then it's bases loaded, 2 outs, and, you know, that's not too big a deal. So Cruz comes set on the mound once again. Big 3-2 pitch here in these middle innings. Here it is, low and away, ball four. And that is the third walk to go with a hit-by-pitch here in the fifth inning, and another Grasshoppers run is in. So Cimillo scores, Ross moves to third. Seitler goes to second, and Brown picks up an RBI on the walk. And Cruz is going to have to find a way to get some outs here, because this is his game right now. First pitch misses outside, and the count is 1-0 on Kalai Harrison, the third baseman. Well, it's not easy. These young pitchers, when they get themselves into the jams, then they have to find a way to work out of it. You know, these guys, they're on an island out there on the mound, and when things aren't going well, things tend to snowball. Right now, the goal is for that not to happen. Now 2-0 as Cruz missed low. Cruz is really taking his time in between pitches. 2-0 downstairs, 3-0. Well, this could be Cruz's last batter if he walks him. You never know. I mean, the next three, counting Harrison at the plate right now, are all left-handed. So maybe the leash is a little bit longer on Cruz, but right now it's already 6-0, and he's already walked three and hit a batter. We'll see what happens. 3-0 in for a strike, 3-1. Ross at third, Seitler at second, Brown over at first. Here's a 3-1 to Harrison. Sweeper in for a strike. That's a big pitch. A lot of credit to Cruz for having the confidence in the sweeper to drop in the zone there with the bases loaded and a three-ball count. Here's the payoff pitch from Cruz. Swing and a miss. Another breaking ball out of the zone, but Kalai Harrison chased, and that is out number two. So Davy Cruz bears down and picks up a strikeout. So only one run in so far in the inning, but that is it for Cruz. So he gets Harrison on strikes, and that is it for Davy here in the fifth. So the Birds are going to the bullpen once again, but a confidence-boosting out for Cruz right there. We'll take another break. Birds down 6-0. Stay locked in on the Birds Broadcast Network. Right-hander Kyle Verbitsky is the new pitcher for the Ironbirds with two outs and the bases loaded here in the top of the fifth. Birds already onto their third pitcher of the night after Davy Cruz Picked up a big strikeout with the bases loaded and one out. Now the Ironbirds defense can relax with two down. Bases still loaded at top of the order. Here's Tamar Johnson, the designated hitter. First pitch from Verbitsky misses outside. Counts 1-0. Well, Verbitsky has pitched exclusively out of the bullpen this season, and he's done a really nice job, especially over the last month, really figuring some things out and adjusting to that reliever life. 1-0 pitch. Fly ball to right center field, but this one is playable for Bradfield. He makes the catch, and on a couple of pitches, Kyle Verbitsky gets out of the bases loaded jam here in the fifth. The Hoppers do grab a run, but they leave them loaded, and it could have been a lot worse. 6-0 Hoppers after the top of the fifth. We'll go to the home half after this break on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. We go to the home half of the fifth inning here in Aberdeen. The Hoppers lead at 6-0 over the Ironbirds as Noelbert Romero leads off the bottom of the fifth. First pitch to Romero is in for a strike from left-hander Dominic Piracci, who has looked really good tonight, 72 pitches through four scoreless. Now the 0-1 to Romero misses, and it's 1-1. Well, the Ironbirds do a bulk of their work at the dish from the fifth through the eighth innings this season, and from the fifth through the eighth innings this year, the Ironbirds have a plus 34 run differential. So this is when the bats really start to get going, that third and fourth time through the order. See if Romero can get it going. Swing and a miss at a breaking ball, 1-2. Well, Piracci has spent most of the year with Greensboro, but has also pitched in three games for the AA Altoona Curve in the Eastern League. 1-2, pitch misses low and in, 2-2. Overall, with Greensboro this year, 11 games, 5 starts, a 1.93 ERA, and, you know, lower than that even more tonight. Only has 4 strikeouts, so he's pitching a contact. Misses outside there, counts full on Romero. But entered today's game with opponents hitting 170 against him with a 4.42 OPS. 3-2 pitch, Romero sends one down the right field line, hooking towards the corner, and it's a foul ball, just foul. And we'll do the 3-2 again. Romero steps back in. That right-handed batter's box, count is full. Here's the next offering from Dominic Piracci. Breaking ball, swing and a miss. Well, the breaking ball has been nasty tonight. A slow breaking ball diving down and in on right-handers. And Romero is gone on strikes. 5 punch outs for Piracci. And that brings up Angel Tejada, the left fielder. Well, in three games at AA this season, Parachi's posted a 4.91 ERA. He was with the Curve in the Eastern League from April 25th through May 12th. And back with Greensboro since then. Might not be long before he gets another call up to AA the way he's pitching with the sub-2 ERA. Next pitch to Tejada. And the count is 2-0. Birds looking for base runners any way they can get them. Chopper to the third baseman. Nice pick by Harrison. Throws to first in time for the out. Tejada didn't even run. I think he thought that one hit off of his foot, and it very well might have. And to be honest, I don't think he would have stayed in the box if it didn't. Now Felipe Alou Jr. is going to talk to the home plate umpire, Davion Fry. For now, Tejada is out on a 5-3 putout. But, I mean, when a guy doesn't leave the box on a chopper to third, you know, I think it should be clear that the ball probably hit his foot. Now Felipe talking to Davion Fry, and they will not reverse the call. I mean, that's just a missed call right there. So two outs, and we go back to the top of the order for Enrique Bradfield Jr. Two gone, no one on. EBJ is 1-for-2 tonight. And the first pitch from the lefty, Parachi, misses. And it's 1-0. Bradfield's riding an eight-game on-base streak. He just extended it to eight games in the first inning. 1-0, grounded foul. On-base percentage up over 470 on his eight-game on-base streak. He has 11 hits and 5 walks in that span with only 4 strikeouts. So not only is he getting on base consistently, but he's just putting the ball in play. So even when he's making outs, he's finding a way to get the bat on the ball. 1-1, grounded out to second. Brannigan stays down on it, throws to first, and the inning is over. A 1-2-3 bottom of the fifth inning for Dominic Parachi. He is through 5 scoreless, and we are through 5 here in Aberdeen. The Birds trail 6-0. We'll head to the top of the sixth after another break on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Right-hander Kyle Verbitsky back to work in the top of the sixth inning here in Aberdeen. Michael Mark Cantonini with you on the call. Verbitsky threw 2 pitches and got the final out of the top of the fifth. And now he gets 2-3-4, Jeb Brannigan and Samillo. As the Birds look to shut it down and throw up a 0, first pitch fouled back. And it's quickly 0-1 on Jeb. Well, Verbitsky got the win in relief on Sunday when the Iron Birds walked it off against the Cyclones to take 5 out of 6 from Brooklyn. And now he's back out there with 1 full day of rest. Pitch misses outside to Jeb. It's 1-1. Verbitsky drafted by the A's in the 17th round back in 2021. Came over to the Orioles organization prior to the 2023 season. It's a swing and miss there. Counts one and two. Verbitsky was a part of the Cole Irvin trade that sent former Ironbird Darryl Hernaez to the A's organization. And Hernaez made his big league debut this past April for the A's. But a trade that has worked out for the Orioles in a couple of ways. 1-2, foul back. Well, one, the O's got a big league pitcher, a guy who can swing back and forth between the rotation and the bullpen. And with the injuries to the Orioles starting rotation this year, that Irvin trade has been even more important. 1-2 pitch from Kyle. Chopper over to first. Retzbach has it. Flips to Verbitsky covering, and it's in time on the 3-1 putout. But that trade has also worked out because the Orioles got Kyle Verbitsky in the deal, and he has been a really solid pitcher in his first full season and now into his second season in the Orioles organization. He was the Ironbirds team MVP last year and in a little bit of a transition stage potentially in his career. He has started most of his life, including most of last year, but this year he's pitched more so in short bursts out of the bullpen. An inning here, two innings there. You know, into the game a little earlier today, maybe he goes longer than two, but the point being, shorter bursts versus longer starts. Fly ball to left. Tejada is there. He makes the catch, so Brannigan is retired. But a guy with a very bright future. He's got a four-pitch mix, fastball, curveball, slider, changeup. And the fact that he has that now as a reliever, talked to Kyle about it the other day, I mean, that's huge. You know, the fact that he can keep hitters guessing with four pitches and, you know, maybe now as a reliever he can, quote-unquote, empty the tank a little bit earlier in his outings. He doesn't have to conserve energy or wait to use certain pitches. He can just kind of get right into it and throw these guys everything he has. You know, that's definitely one of the benefits of working out of the bullpen. 1-0 pitch to Cimillo in for a strike. But one of the things that Kyle talked to me about in the interview the other day, which I played on a pregame show, was that he's getting used to not being able to control the situations that he enters into. 1-1, low and away, it's 2-1. And it's so different. You know, as a starting pitcher, you know, you go out there to start the game, you know, you dictate the pace. And, you know, what happens after the game started, you know, that's, you got to react to that. But, you know, you start with a clean slate every single time. Not always the case as a reliever. Kyle just missed up and in to Cimillo, and the count is 3-1. Birds down 6-0, top of the sixth. So it's an adjustment. I mean, these guys are always making adjustments, but this is a big one. 3-1 in for a strike. It's 3-2. But what I think really works to Kyle's favor is that he's a strike thrower. You know, the walk totals throughout his career are low. So whether you're a starter or a reliever, if you're not giving up free bases, that's huge. And right there, he pumps the zone with a fastball, and the inning is over. A 1-2-3 sixth inning for Kyle Verbitsky. Four up, four down since coming out of the bullpen. And we'll go to the home sixth with the Birds looking for some runs. They trail 6-0 against the Hoppers. Take a break. Come back after this on the Birds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the sixth inning here in Aberdeen. Birds down 6-0. Tavian Josenberger getting it started. First pitch to Tavian misses outside. And it is a new pitcher out there for the Grasshoppers. Is the starter, left-hander Dominic Piracci, is done after 5 shutout innings. And now the Grasshoppers go to Valentin Linares. Linares coming out of the bullpen throwing smoke as he gets one over to Josenberger, and the count is 1-0. So Valentin Linares, the new arm. Josenberger fouls one back, 1-2. Reminder to fans tuned into tonight's broadcast that may be coming out to tomorrow's game, or even if you're not planning on it yet and want to, tomorrow's game is at 1:05 Eastern. Now, that is earlier than any day game that we have had in my tenure here in Aberdeen. You know, the day games here in Aberdeen, generally 2:05 Eastern, but tomorrow, the day before the 4th of July, 1:05. Josenberger fouls another one back, so if you already have tickets to tomorrow's game or are going to get tickets to the game, remember, 1:05 tomorrow, not 2:05. You know, same if you're planning on tuning into the broadcast online. Again, you know, if you tune in at 2:05, it may be the fourth inning by the time you tune in, and then you'll have 1 hour less of getting to hear me talk about this team. So remember that it's 1:05. You got to set a reminder in your phone. I know I've already got my alarm set for tomorrow to get to the ballpark earlier. Going to be an adjustment for everybody, but 1:05 tomorrow as Josenberger goes down on strikes to start the sixth. That brings up Douglas Hodo. Well, Hodo singled his last time up. One of just 2 hits for the Birds, both singles. Pitch to Doug, misses from Linares. So 5 shutout innings for Dominic Piracci. He was really good for the Hoppers. Gave up just 2 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. He threw 85 pitches, 49 strikes. Counts 2-0 on Doug. Pitch misses inside, 3-0. Well, Hodo picked up 2 more walks in last night's game. He went hitless, but continues to find ways on base. Next one in for a strike, and it's 3-1. Spent the first 4 innings of tonight's broadcast with Steve Molesky from Masson joining me on air. It was really fun having Steve on air with me. You know, this is we're talking with Steve, a guy who, as Hodo walks, a guy who, you know, this used to be his office here in the Dean. You know, the broadcast booth, which I call my office, you know, that used to be Steve's spot. He called games here for 3 years from 04 through 06. The Ironbirds became a franchise in 02. So Steve was here from the 3rd through the 5th seasons of the franchise. So to be on air with Steve, you know, and share a broadcast booth with him, a former voice of the team, current voice of the team, I mean, that's pretty cool. Hodo took off on that last pitch, but he'll retreat after Willems fouled that last pitch off. Birds down 6-0, but trying to strike for some runs here the third time through the order. Hodo takes off again, and he's there without a throw. Ball went in and out of Ross's glove to the backstop. It's a stolen base for Douglas Hodo. He was caught last night, but he's only been caught 3 times this year at high A. A walk and a stolen base. Now Willems, who is 0-2, looking to do some damage. Pops one up, middle of the diamond. A couple steps into the outfield turf, Mitch Jeb, the shortstop, makes the catch. And that is the second out of the inning. So here's Adam Retzbach with 2 down and Hodo at first. Birds down 6. Retz is 0-2, trying to extend his on-base streak to 17 games. Linares with a sweeping slider across the plate, counts 0-1. Linares, 24 years old, from the Dominican Republic. This is his sixth pro season. Hoda was off on the pitch again, but Retz fouled it back. Counts 0-2. Linares has spent most of the season with AA Altoona. 17 appearances out of the bullpen there. And he was just recently sent down to low A last week. So this is his third appearance with the Hoppers. Just one run and 3 1/3. Swing and a miss, and he picks up a strike out there. So Retzbach is down on strikes. And we are through six in the Dean. No runs on no hits, no errors. One man left on for the Birds. We'll go to the top of the seventh and see if the Birds can hold the score where it is. It's 6-0 Greensboro. Stay locked in with me on MILB TV and Bally Live. Top of the seventh inning in Aberdeen, Hoppers 6, Birds nothing. In game two of this six-game home-and-home series, Kyle Verbitsky back to work here in the seventh, and he fires a strike into the catcher, Sean Ross. 5-6-7, Ross, Seitler, Hilson. Verbitsky 4-up, 4-down so far. Next pitch in for a strike, 0-2. So right now he's just getting the baseball and firing it, and he's been really effective since coming into this game. Verbitsky picked up a strikeout to end the sixth. A couple of flyouts and a ground out so far tonight. 2-2 just outside. That was an 0-2 pitch. 1-2 now. Kyle is working at a really quick pace right now. 1-2. Check swing. Appeal. He went around. Another strikeout for Verbitsky. That's his second. And Ross has gone on strikes for the second time tonight. So that brings up Josiah Seitler. And we'll see what he can do now with one out. 5-up, 5-down for Verbitsky. Seitler 0-1 with a walk and a hit-by pitch. Birds have some work to do with the bats. But you've got to limit the runs on this side, too. Swing and a miss. Good changeup from Kyle. I think this quick pace for Verbitsky really benefiting him right now. You know, the batter really doesn't have a chance to get comfortable. I mean, you got 15 seconds or 16 seconds on that pitch clock with no one on base. But Kyle's barely using half of it. 0-2, ripped to first, and it's just foul. That one went past a diving Retzbach. So no balls and two strikes. Wrubitsky way ahead. Next pitch, way inside. Almost hit him. And it's 1-2. Well, another 1-2-3 inning would be huge. The Ironbirds are down to their final 9 outs at the plate with no runs on the board. But they can strike quickly. 1-2, that's downstairs. 2-2. Pitch. Fouled up around the broadcast booth level. A little bit off to the side. And the count stays at 2-2. A battle here with Seitler. Verbitsky's next two-strike offering. Looked like a changeup fouled away. Seitler had to go down for that one, and he just got a piece. Verbitsky already with two strikeouts. Can he make it three in a row? 2-2 pitch again. Got him. Nasty pitch down in the zone, and Kyle Verbitsky is locked in tonight here in Aberdeen. Two up, two down in the seventh. And that brings up P.J. Hilson, a guy who was 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. So we'll see if Kyle can get another and strike out the side in order. Tough night for Hilson. The other eight starters for Greensboro have all reached safely at least once. But Hilson, who has decent offensive numbers this year, the OPS is at 754. Nothing doing for him offensively. 1-0. Skied out of play to the right side. 1-1. Verbitsky still working fast. 1-1 outside. Next pitch, fouled back, it's 2-2. And one of the things that I talked to Steve about while he was on air with me was that, you know, one thing that stood out that he said was that you can't define the success of a minor league system based off a team's win-loss record, sometimes not even by a player's individual stats over a certain period of time. 2-2 fouled back. And, you know, right now, talk about just the last couple days for Aberdeen. An 8-6 loss last night, they got behind early, down 6-0 here. Even if the Ironbirds lose this game, even if they get shut out, which I hope doesn't happen, you know, there are going to be positives to take away. And there's stuff that we don't see in the box score that stands out. Two-strike pitch outside, counts full. When you look at Jackson Ballmeister, gave up 5 runs in the third inning, but came back and eventually got through 3 2/3 with just those 5 runs home. 3-2, two-out pitch from Kyle. Here it is. Popped up. Middle of the diamond, out to shallow center. Romero is out, but Bradfield calls him off, makes the catch. And the inning is over. A 1-2-3 inning for Kyle Verbitsky. 7 up, 7 down out of the bullpen. And it's time to stretch here in the Dean. We'll go to the home half of the seventh with the Birds down 6-0. They'll need some runs. We'll see if they can get them after this. Carter Young leads off the bottom of the seventh for the Ironbirds, and he skies one down the left field line, hooking towards the corner. It's a fair ball. It hits off of the wall and over it, and it's a one-pitch stand-up double for Young here in the bottom of the seventh. So a ground rule double, and the Birds are in business just like that. So Young picked on the first pitch he saw from another Greensboro reliever. So after a scoreless sixth inning from Valentin Linares, the Hoppers go to the pen once again. Another right-hander is out there. As they go to, well, it hasn't been announced yet, and I can't even read it on the scoreboard. Next pitch, Costas pops one up right side of the diamond, foul ground. The first baseman, Samillo, is over. He makes the catch, and Young stays put at second base. New arm for the Hoppers is right-hander Ryan Harbin, 17th round pick of the Pirates in 2019 out of high school. So a Young double. And now a Costas pop out. Right-hander Cooper Chandler is loosening in the Ironbirds bullpen. Here's the 8-hole hitter, Noelbert Romero. Pitch from Harbin, misses low and away. Harbin just 22 years old in his fifth pro season already. 19 and two-thirds innings of work this season. Gets a swing and a miss there. This is his 12th game with High A Greensboro. A 4.91 ERA after five appearances combined on rehab between the Florida Complex League and High A Bradenton. Pitch misses low and away there. 2-1 on Romero. Opponents hitting 268 at High A against Harbin this year. See if the Birds can take advantage of that. As Romero takes a strike, 2-2. Kyle Verbitsky went 7 up, 7 down through 2 1/3 out of the Birds' bullpen. We'll see if he goes back out for the 8th or if Cooper Chandler gets the baseball. Birds down 6-0. They need some runs. Swing and a miss. And Romero is gone on strikes. That brings up the 9-hole hitter, Angel Tejada. Tejada swung and missed at a pitch in the dirt, too. So this Ironbirds team has expanded the zone a little bit more than they'd like to tonight. This is a very disciplined team. Excellent swing decisions all season long up and down this roster. But this Greensboro pitching staff has had its way. 0-1 inside. Look at second, 1-1, fouled back. Well, Tejada fighting here. And this is a guy who, when he connects, he can really drive it. A couple of doubles and a walk-off homer in the Brooklyn series this past week. Young still at second with two down, 1-2, fouled back. So Young swung at the first pitch he saw here in this bottom of the seventh and sent it on one hop over the wall and left. So he was at second from the jump, but still there. A pop out and a strikeout after. Here's the 1-2, swing and a miss. Another strikeout. And Tejada is down for out number three. No runs on a hit, no errors. One man left in the bottom of the seventh for the Ironbirds. We'll head to the top of the eighth and see if they can hold it where it is. 6-0 Greensboro. Top of the eighth inning here from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Birds trail the Grasshoppers 6-0. An 8-6 loss last night. Birds looking to avoid back-to-back losses, but they'll need to do some work with the bats. 8-9-1, Brown, Harrison, and Johnson up for the Hoppers. As right-hander Cooper Chandler enters the game. First pitch, liner to left. That's down in front of Tejada for a hit. He tried to cut it off, but it went all the way to the wall past him. And Brown is in with either a single and an error or a double. A tough start to the night for Chandler, who allows a first pitch hit. And that brings up Kalai Harrison. 7 up, 7 down for Kyle Verbitsky in relief. He looked really good. Ballmeister started, went 3 2/3, an inning for Davy Cruz, and then 2 1/3 for Verbitsky. 6-0 Hoppers, here's Harrison. After a double from Brown, officially scored a double. Pitch missed low there, 1-0. Well, some big news in Birdland today is that catcher Samuel Basayo, who is the Orioles' number 2 prospect and Major League Baseball's number 12 overall prospect, was selected to represent the Orioles in the 2024 MLB Futures game down in Texas. That game will be played on Sunday, July 14th. Basayo is the only Orioles representative. Jackson Holliday and Heston Kerstad repped the O's in Seattle at the Futures game last year. And now Basayo this year in Arlington, the home of the Texas Rangers. 1-1, that's low. The defending World Series champion Texas Rangers, that is. Basayo's having an excellent season with AA Bowie. He got to AA late last year, and so far this year in 68 games with the Bay Sox, 11 homers, a 794 OPS. So congrats to Samuel and his entire family on the Futures game nod. Counts 3-1 on Kalai Harrison. Cooper Chandler trying to work around a leadoff double. And Basayo just 20 years old, already tearing up double A. One of the game's fast rising stars. Pitch missed outside there, and it's a walk to Harrison. Back to the top for Johnson. So Basayo will go to the Futures game to represent the O's. Basayo had a quick stint in high A last year, 27 games. He was here about 5 weeks. Basayo hit .333 with a .443 on base percentage and a .688 slugging in 27 games for the Ironbirds. He had 16 extra base hits, including 8 home runs. Drove in 24, and he walked almost as many times as he struck out, 19 walks, 20 strikeouts. I mean, Basayo proved pretty quickly that he was ready for the next level. Counts 1-0 on the leadoff man, Johnson. Next pitch, fastball painted on the outer half, but called a ball. 2-0. First two have reached. Pitch outside, snap throw to first, runner's back. Next pitch, that's low, that's ball 4. Well, Cooper Chandler was really sharp when he made his Ironbird season debut a few days ago. Faced 5 batters, got 6 outs because of a double play ball and 4 strikeouts. But tonight, double, walk, walk. And that brings up Mitch Jebb, the shortstop. Bases loaded, no outs. First pitch strike. That's a good sign from Coop. Cooper, the fourth pitcher of the night for the Ironbirds. 25 years old from Frisco, Texas. Next pitch in for a strike, 0-2. 4 years at Pepperdine, then his fifth and final season of college ball at Rice. Orioles signed him as an undrafted free agent out of college. 0-2, breaking ball low and away. Last year, Chandler posted a 3.84 ERA in 23 games, 13 starts for the Birds. Opponents hit just 2.46 against him. Struck out exactly one batter per inning. 1-2 outside, 2-2. Well, his rehab assignment ended in late June in Delmarva. Final appearance on rehab June 23rd. He was added to the Ironbirds roster shortly after that. Made his Ironbirds season debut on the 28th, and he picks up a big punch out here as he gets Jeb looking on strikes. Birds trail 6-0 here in the 8th. Bases loaded for the Grasshoppers with only one out. But a big first out for Cooper Chandler there on the strikeout. Long pause. Here's the 0-1 from Chandler. That one missed. And it's 1-1. Birds down to their final six outs at the plate. They'll have the top of the order due up in the bottom of the 8th when we get there. Here's a pop-up left side of the diamond on the infield. This is big. Young makes the catch, keeps the runners where they are. And Cooper Chandler from bases loaded no outs to bases loaded two outs. And he has a chance to get out of this with nobody scoring. So Brannigan retired. That brings up Nick Cimillo. Well, it was Cimillo who blasted the three-run home run in the third with the Hoppers already up 2-0 at the time. Made it a 5-0 game. The score has not changed much since. It's 6-0 now. Pitch from Cooper. Misses outside. Count is 1-0. One missed outside as well. It's 2-0. Base is still full of Grasshoppers with two down. Check swing off the bat. Almost got a piece of him. But I think it hit the knob of Cimillo's bat right there. One foul back, it goes to 2-2. So one pitch away from getting out of this bases loaded jam. Double walk set up the bases loaded situation, but then Chandler picked up a strikeout and a pop out. And now Cimillo has two strikes on him. 2-2 pitch, got him. Pitch down in the zone, it's a called strike three, and Cooper Chandler works out of the bases loaded no-out jam, and no runs come home for the Grasshoppers. Huge pitch right there, big job by Coop to get out of it. Birds still down 6-0, but it's a manageable deficit for this team. We'll see what they can do in the bottom of the 8th after this. Enrique Bradfield Jr. leads off the home half of the eighth inning for the Ironbirds. Top three in the Birds' order. As they look for some runs, down 6-0. Bradfield went too far on that check swing. And the count is 0-1. Well, Ryan Harbin stays out there for another inning for the Hoppers. He worked a scoreless 7th. Third pitcher of the night for Greensboro. Next pitch to Bradfield is in for a strike. 0-2. Birds trying to avoid what would be their 7th shutout loss of the season. Birds have 5 shutout wins, but no runs on their side right now. Down 6-0. Bradfield flicks one to left. That's down for another base hit in front of Brown. A 2-hit night for Enrique Bradfield Jr. And he stays hot at the plate. The on-base streak is at 8 in a row now. We'll see if that gets the Birds going. So here's Tavian Josenberger. Talking to Tavian earlier today about the walk-off homer he hit on Sunday. Pitch misses low. Count is 1-0. And, you know, Tavian's all smiles talking about it. And, you know, these guys, they of course like to talk about the team before themselves. But, you know, I individually went up to him and I congratulated him on the big knock. You know, the walk-off hero on Sunday. And, you know, we talked about it and I was asking him about, you know, walk-offs he's hit previously in his life. And I said on the broadcast earlier that he had never hit a walk-off homer before at any level. So to do that as a professional, pretty special stuff. 1-0. Ground ball out to second. Brannigan has it. Goes to second for the lead runner. Back to first, not in time. So Bradfield cut down. And that's a smart play by Jack Brannigan right there to get Bradfield and go for the lead runner. Not an easy turn either. That brings up Doug Hodo. Hodo on base twice tonight, a single and a walk. The Ironbirds only have 4 hits. Can they add some more and put together a rally? First pitch was in for a strike, 0-1. Next pitch missed. Well, after tomorrow's homestand ender here at 105, the Birds are not back at home until late July. Another one missed outside to Hodo. The count is 2-1. The Iron Birds will go to Greensboro for 3. Thursday through Saturday. Sunday and Monday are off days. Then 6 in Asheville before the All-Star break. All-Star break Monday through Thursday, July 15th through the 18th. And then back at home for 3 against Wilmington starting on Friday, July 19th. So it's going to be a while, Ironbirds fans. Ironbirds have just 8 home games in the month of July. And then 18 in August. Ball 4 gets by the catcher, Ross. Doesn't matter. As Josenberger moves up to second and Hodo jogs down to first. Another walk for Douglas Hodo. He is on for the 3rd time tonight. And that brings up Creed Willems, the catcher. Willems is 0 for 3 tonight. Before we go any further, a visit to the mound from Greensboro pitching coach Matt Myers. So the entire Hoppers infield will chat. That's a very weird month of July in the schedule here for the Ironbirds. As I mentioned, you know, after tomorrow, the Birds are away from the 4th through the 13th, then the All-Star break, then 3 at home, a quick 3-game sprint of a series against Wilmington, and then another road series at Jersey Shore from July 23rd through the 28th, and then the Birds are finally back at home on July 30th. So just 8 total home games in July. And then that series with Brooklyn goes into August, a week on the road, then back-to-back weeks at home, a week on the road, and then they wrap up the regular season at home. So over the final 6 weeks of the regular season, the Birds will play 24 home games. You know, that's a lot to end the year, but even with the team on the road most of July and the All-Star break in there, there's a lot of Ironbirds baseball to pay attention to and a lot of Birds baseball here at home to end the season. First and second with one out. Here's Creed Willems. First pitch misses low, and it's 1-0. Well, Harbin has two on. Not really a jam with a 6-run lead, but the Birds are threatening. Just looking to break the shutout for now and go from there. Next pitch to Creed, down and away, 2-0. The Birds were down 8-4 going into the bottom of the ninth inning last night. Then with two outs and no one on, still down 4. They got it to 8-6 and brought the tying run to the plate. Willems takes inside, counts 3-0. Only one out in the bottom of the eighth, with Adam Retzbach looming on deck. Three-0 to Creed, outside, ball 4. Harbin just straight up lost it right there. And now the bases are loaded. Single fielder's choice, walk, walk. And it brings up Adam Retzbach with a chance to extend his on-base streak to 17 games. Retzbach just feeling it right now at the dish. On the on-base streak, he has 10 extra base hits and 14 RBIs. First pitch to Retz, takes inside, 1-0. Well, Retz is just seeing it really well right now. 4 doubles, 3 triples, 3 homers on the on-base streak. And he has 3 runners out there for him with only 1 out in the bottom of the 8th. 1-0, Retz takes in again. It's 2-0. There is bullpen action for Greensboro. Birds trying to cash in against right-hander Ryan Harbin. Now Retz asked for time. Steps out. Josenberger at third, Hodo at second, Willems at first. Two O to Rats, big cut there, swing and a miss. Well, he homered over the batter's eye in dead center last night. An absolute moonshot. We'll see if he can drive in some runs here. 2-1 inside. It gets away from the catcher, Ross, all the way to the backstop. Everybody moves up, and the Birds get on the board. Josenberger's in to score on the wild pitch. And it's now 6-1. So 6-1 Grasshoppers with runners at second and third and one out. And the count is 3-1 on Adam Retzbach. Ryan Harbin losing control here in the eighth. Hopper still up 5, but that could change quickly. Now he steps off. Birds only have 4 hits. But a hit to the outfield could make this a 6-3 game. 3-1 on the outside corner, a called strike. Well, Retzbach thought it was ball 4, so did everybody in the seats. And now he's got to stay in there. Birds down to their final 5 outs, down 5, but their best scoring chance of the night right here. Second and third, one down. Harbin comes set on the mound. Leg kick and the pitch. Swing and a miss. He tied up Retzbach inside. And that's out number two. Well, one pitch can change an entire inning. That pitch that was called a strike on Retzbach that could have been ball four would have set up bases loaded, one out. Instead, after the strikeout, it is now second and third, two outs. So Rhett's on base streak is on the line. See if he gets another chance to hit. There's Carter Young, takes a strike. One. Young flicks one foul down the left field line out of play, so it's 0-2 now. Birds grabbed a run on a wild pitch. That ended the shutout bid for Greensboro. But the Birds still trail by five. Oh, two, that's low. So a ball and two strikes on Young, who hit a ground rule double to left his last time up. Harbin is working hard out there, up to 35 pitches. 1-2, ground ball to first. Cimillo has it on one hop, flips to first, and the inning is over. 3-1 on the putout there. The Birds grab a run to end the shutout bid, but that is all they get. A run on two hits, no errors, and two left in scoring position. Through eight here in Aberdeen, the Ironbirds trail by five. We'll head to the top of the ninth next on MILB TV and Bally Live.
Does your local Harford, Cecil, or Baltimore County business want more customers? Advertise with the Ironbirds and take advantage of the best local entertainment venue in the area. Contact the Ironbirds at partners@goironbirds.com or call us at 410-297-9292 for more information. Join local companies like Leidos, Horizon Cinemas, The Olive Tree, and more by advertising with the Ironbirds. Every Sunday at the ballpark this season is Sunday Family Fun Day presented by the Macaroni Kid Bel Air. Prior to the game, play catch on the field like the Ironbirds starting at 1 p.m., and after the game, it's kids run the bases. Get a ticket to one of our remaining Sunday home games now at GoIronbirds.com. That's Sunday Family Fun Day presented by the Macaroni Kid Bel Air. Red, White, and Boom is back for 2024. On Thursday, July 4th, Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium will host our annual Independence Day Family Festival with on-field games, live music, a kids' zone, concessions, and fireworks at the end of the night.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585. Or email office@tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585. And you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information.
Right-hander Cooper Chandler is back out there for the top of the ninth inning as the Birds look to throw up another zero and keep the deficit at five before they go to the home half of the ninth. We're at the top half of the ninth. Chandler worked out of a bases-loaded no-out jam in the eighth and kept the Grasshoppers off the board. First pitch to Sean Ross, the catcher, is popped up behind home plate. Foul territory. Willems throws the mask, makes the catch. And on one pitch, Cooper Chandler has a nice start to the ninth. One up, one down. That brings up Seitler with Hilson on deck. Well, that's big for Chandler after the first three reached in the last inning. Ironbirds grabbed a run on a wild pitch in the bottom of the eighth, but that was it. They left two on. Chandler set. First pitch fouled back to Seitler, and it's 0-1. A loss would drop the Ironbirds two full games behind Greensboro here in the second half North Division standings. Of course, plenty of time to make up ground with four more games against the Hoppers the next 4 days. And one of the big things for this Ironbirds team is the overall record, and I'll explain why after this next pitch. 1-1 coming up from Chandler to Seitler. Here it is. Grounded through the hole between first and second into the outfield, a base hit. And the reason why the overall record means so much for the Ironbirds, and normally in minor league baseball it doesn't, because the winner of each half in each division makes the playoffs. But the Grasshoppers, the first half North Division champions, they are out to a lead in the second half standings, and this is a team that looks like it's going to be very competitive the rest of the season. So Greensboro has a chance to win the second half title as well, and when the same team wins the title in both halves of the season, then, well, there's got to be two teams from each division that make the playoffs, so then they go to the best overall record throughout the entire season to determine which team will win the wild card out of that division. So let's say Greensboro wins both halves and the Ironbirds have the best record overall in the South Atlantic League behind Greensboro, then the Ironbirds get in the playoffs. Now, the easier way to do it would be to win the second half and get an automatic bid to the playoffs, as P.J. Hilson fouls one back 0-1. So even if the Ironbirds drop a couple of games behind Greensboro, the goal is to stay ahead of the rest of the teams in the division overall. Go from there. 0-1, runner takes off. Got to go back as this one's sent in the air to left center. Tejada is over. He makes the catch. Two outs here in the ninth. In terms of overall records, right now the Grasshoppers have the best record in the entire South Atlantic League at 47-28, but the Ironbirds, in terms of the North Division, are tied for the second-best record, 41-35. With Jersey Shore Blue Claws, fly ball center field, Bradfield is in. And on one pitch, Luke Brown is retired for the final out. No runs on a hit, no errors. And one man left on in the top of the ninth for Greensboro. Last chance for the Ironbirds. Down five when we come back on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the ninth inning in Aberdeen. Birds down 6-1 in game two of this six-game home-and-home series between the Birds and the Hoppers. Ironbirds grabbed a run on a wild pitch in the bottom of the eighth, so no shutout for Greensboro. And now the Birds' bottom three in the order, Costas, Romero, and Tejada, will get it going against the new pitcher for the Greensboro Grasshoppers. It's Brandon Bidois. So Brandon Bidois takes over. And his first pitch to Costas is in for a strike. Bedois, the first pitch, or excuse me, the fourth pitcher of the night for Greensboro. Next pitch to Costas. That one missed a little bit downstairs. 2-1, or 1-1. Birds were down 4 going into the bottom of the ninth last night. They brought the tying run to the plate. They lost by 2. 1-1 in for a strike. Costas was hit on the hand his first time up today back in the second inning. Stayed in the game. It looked bad right away, but he shook it off pretty quickly. 1-2, swing and a miss. Pitch out of the zone. He chased. And that is out number one here in the ninth. Not a safe situation for Bedois, but still big outs to get. We know how dangerous this Ironbirds team is late in games. That brings up Noelbert Romero. Good to see Romero back with the team. He's bounced all over the minor league system this year. Just a fun guy to be around. Ground ball through the hole between short and third, a base hit. So Romero's on for the second time today. Well, Romero during batting practice today told us behind the cage that he was going to hit a home run, and he ended up hitting it off the wall or the warning track. I can't remember, but then he said, okay, no, now this time, this swing right here. Next swing, cranked it off of the clubhouse over the left field wall. So he's seen it well. Brings up Angel Tejada. Pitch from Bedois, misses high, 1-0. Birds down 6-1. Greensboro grabbed 5 runs in the third, 1 in the fifth. That's it for them. That's all they've needed. 1-0. Tejada chased, 1-1. Angel, just 20 years old, in his first series at home at High A, cranked a walk-off homer in Wednesday night's win, a 3-1 victory for the Birds over Brooklyn. Pitch fouled back. One-two, swing and a miss. Another nasty breaking ball from Bedois. And that's the second out. So the Birds are down to their final out, and we'll go back to the top for Bradfield. Bradfield has 2 hits tonight. He is 2-for-4. A 22-year-old out of Vanderbilt. First-round pick of the O's last summer. Swing and a miss. Gassed up on a fastball. Bradfield now with 4 multi-hit games in his last 5. And he'll take an 8-game on-base streak into tomorrow. 0-1. Runner takes off. Fly ball left field. Brown is over. And he puts it away out there for the third and final out. And that'll do it here tonight in Aberdeen. The Birds went quietly in the bottom of the ninth. They went quietly all night at the plate, but that'll happen sometimes. No runs on 1 hit, no error, 1 left in the ninth, and the Birds fall 6-1 to the Greensboro Grasshoppers. Well, the Grasshoppers with wins in each of the first 2 games of this 6-game series, a home-and-home series, 3 in Aberdeen, then 3 in Greensboro to wrap it up. So the last 2 nights not going the way of the Ironbirds, but they will look to get back on track with a win tomorrow to wrap up this 9-game homestand. Well, it's been a while since the Ironbirds have lost back-to-back games. You got to go back to June 20th and 21st at Wilmington at the tail end of the first half into the second half. Just a tough one overall. The bats never really got going. The Birds' only run came on a wild pitch, and the Greensboro bats stayed hot. A big 3-run homer for Nick Cimillo in the third inning, a 2-run double for Jack Brannigan. That's what got it going. So a 5 spot in that third inning is what eventually sealed the deal. The Hoppers added another run in the fifth. That's all they needed. And again, the Birds' only run came in on a wild pitch in the eighth inning. We'll get you some final totals in this one. With the win, the Grasshoppers improved to 48-28, 9-2 in the second half. They maintain their second half first place lead. On the flip side, Aberdeen drops to 41-36. They are 7-4 in the second half. Six runs on six hits, no errors for the Grasshoppers. One run on five hits, one error for the Ironbirds. Dominic Paracci picks up the win. Five shutout innings. He is now 5-1. Jackson Ballmeister, despite a career-high tying 7 Ks, handed the loss. He drops to 1-3. No save. Game was played in 2 hours and 41 minutes in front of 1,122 fans here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Well, Ironbirds fans, a tough one here in the Dean. The Ironbirds have been playing such good baseball, and the Grasshoppers have taken the first two games of this split home-and-home series. Well, that's what good teams do. They win ball games. The Ironbirds are a good team. They will continue to win ball games, and hope we see a win tomorrow as the Birds and Hoppers finish up this 9-game homestand for the Ironbirds. Remember, Ironbirds fans, a 1:05 p.m. start time tomorrow afternoon, not 2:05. So if you're coming to the game or just want to tune into my broadcast online, either the TV or the radio broadcast, remember, 1:05, I'll be on air at 12:40 for the air show. Man, that's like the middle of the night. I mean, I'm used to the later schedule, but it's going to be a quick turnaround tomorrow here, Ironbirds fans. But rest up. We'll be back at it for the quick turnaround. Birds looking to get back in the win column tomorrow. They dropped tonight's game 6-1. Thanks for tuning in, Ironbirds fans. As always, thank you for flying with me, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great rest of your night.